Welcome to Disco Tuesday. Look at that disco ball, Steve. That's not a disco ball.
Is this the Cool in the Gang, right?
Get down, down on it. This is the Muzak version of it, though, isn't it?
Seventh floor, please.
Remember when there used to be elevator operators?
Well, barely, yeah.
But you're not that much. Are you my age?
I'm 52.
Me too.
Really? So we're the same age.
Yeah, Bill will be 52 soon. He says I'm older than him, but by 6 months.
So, but you are. So am I.
Always the contrarian.
No. But I remember not very, there weren't many elevator operators in our day.
Sure there was.
Really?
Although I never lived in an apartment building, but I would go visit people who did.
Really?
Yeah.
What, like in apartment buildings and they had elevator
yes,
operators?
Yes, what floor, please?
When you were a little kid?
Maybe.
See, I grew up in a place where there was never...
No elevators.
There were no
just grain elevators.
No third stories. Right.
That's interesting to know. All right.
I'll go to two, please.
I have heard rumors that it's supposed to snow, and don't we want it to?
Yeah, I'm taking my son to the Northwestern Wisconsin football game on Saturday. And the last 2 weekends have just been beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And now I'm seeing the high on Saturday might be around 30 or something. And this game's in Wisconsin.
Oh, so it's going to be even colder and snowier there?
Well, I would think it's going to be colder, and so he's not that eager. A buddy of mine who I'm going with, I think, is dropping off the eager bandwagon. So,
right, so
I'm going to be driving all the way to Madison like, we're going to have fun on this vacation. Shut up.
Okay, so you're going, it started with, I'm taking my son to the Wisconsin Northwestern game.
Right.
But he doesn't seem to want to go as much as you do. So this, you're using him as...
How much time have you got?
We've got all day.
So he, you know, we're in the process of looking at schools. And we've gone twice to Madison. And each time we went, he really, you know, liked it. And I love Madison. I think it's a really cool town. He's also applying at Northwestern. Which would be phenomenal, too. And so I was always told, you know, yeah, well, if he goes to a football game, it'll seal the deal. It'll seal it because the games there are
and
just phenomenal.
And you want him to go there.
I kind of want, I mean, he's looking at a number of schools, but I would be really happy if he went there. I'd be happy if he goes to a number of spots. But so I'm like, okay, let's get him the full experience. Let's do it. So I got the tickets, and in the interim, he's like, yeah, I'm not going to apply to Wisconsin. Like, what? So I said, no, you're going to apply. We'll just check it out. So I think I'm just going up there with a car full of people who don't really want to be there.
That's not going to be fun. Plus, if it's snowing,
no,
yeah, you're
going to
have a hell of a weekend.
They're supposed to be great. It's supposed to be a great game. And, you know, all the cheering and with the muffled gloves, you know, that'll really make it more exciting. People shouting through their scarves.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great day.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing about that.
Bring my smartphone, listen to Dave and Ted do the call.
Yeah, Dave is awesome.
I love those guys.
He gets so excited. So it's Steve Bertrand here sitting in Bill Leff's chair because Bill is out this week. And I'm Wendy Snyder. And, you know, you mentioned the kids going to college. I'm not quite there yet. Michael's a junior in high school, so I guess this coming summer is when we start looking at different colleges.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. I like all my birdies in the nest. I kind of yell at them when they're in the nest, but I want them in the nest. I don't want them to go away. I really don't. And then this is what happened last night, which I think I just want to hold on to my kids and keep them little. Dylan is going to be 13 on the 13th of December, so his golden birthday. He's already
Ooh.
Working us for, you know, bigger presents because he gets kind of ripped off because it's near Christmas anyway.
Well, it's his golden birthday, so he should get something extra.
I'll give him a gold coin for his golden birthday.
Make it a heavy gold coin.
Well, he got, first of all, I just want to say that I have a shoe fetish a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I love buying shoes.
You were showing me shoes yesterday. It's like, I love these shoes, but I can never wear them. And I'm thinking, where did that come from? Because it was
it's
out of the
just,
blue.
I love shoes.
Right.
So Dylan needed a new pair of gym shoes, and Nike makes these they're not high tops, they're mid tops, but they're made for winter. They're completely waterproof. And they're gym shoes, but they look like a work boot, and they're really cool. So I went and to Famous Footwear, and I got two different sizes because I really don't like to shop with boys. It's kind of a pain. So I get.
So you'd rather take one bag?
Yes. Right. It's easier for a mom to do that. So he gets them. He's wearing them all around the house. I said, don't walk outside with them. Don't take the tags off. Just be sure you like them and they're comfortable. And he liked them. And then he said, you know what? I think I'm going to sleep with them tonight. And I said, oh my God, a chip off the old block. Steve, when I was little, every time I got something that I just loved, I slept with it. Except guys. I'm talking like.
That you waited.
Yeah, I waited for that.
Right.
But I'll never forget, I got this crushed velvet coat that was so kick-ass.
And so you'd put it on and sleep in it?
I wouldn't sleep in it, but I would have it next to me. And I don't know if I was guarding it, but I loved it. And then later on that year, I got these really cool granny boots that were like black patent leather and a bit of a heel. And I'm in like third or fourth grade and they laced all the way up. And I'm like, oh my God, I love my boots. I would walk and look at myself in the big picture window at night because then it would turn into a giant mirror.
Sure.
And I would pretend I was Nancy Sinatra and I was loving them. And then I went to bed and I slept with my boots right next to me. Not on, but right next to me.
Holding them.
Kind of.
Right.
I don't know what it is, but it's, I see the innocence of Dylan doing that, and that's why I'm not ready for Michael to go away. I want to keep them as little kids, because little kids have it so easy. There are no adult pressures. It's not fun being an adult sometimes. You think, ah, I don't like school. Yeah, but wait till you're adult. You have real problems when you're an adult.
Yeah, a lot of kids think it's hard to be. I mean, don't you hear that it's hard to be a kid too?
It's harder being a kid now than when we went to school. Oh my God, they have so much homework.
They have so much opportunity.
So much pressure with that opportunity because
if
you don't.
So many games to play on the TV. I don't know.
Yeah, Pong just didn't do it for me.
No.
And on TV was the best we had.
Sports Vision? Come on, I don't think so.
With all these new technology and new things, and it is a Tech Tuesday, we'll talk to Bridget Carey from CNET in a little bit. With all this technology comes more pressure, though. And with all these activities, if you don't start playing flag football when you're like 4 years old, then if all of a sudden you want to play football in junior high, you're so far behind the curve that you won't make the team.
Yeah, I suppose that's a whole other thing, how much we spend on private sports lessons and things like that.
You did that?
I did not. Well, very limited. Like my daughter went to a couple basketball clinics, but overall, no. And, you know, Noah, my son, was on the state gymnastics team the last couple years.
That's awesome.
And he just picked it up in high school. So
that's rare these days. Maybe in an individualized sport like gymnastics or something like, or swimming maybe, because my brother's older than I am, and so is my sister. It's her birthday today, by the way. Happy birthday, Betsy.
Happy birthday, Betsy.
She's way older than I am.
Is she?
Yeah.
60s?
She's 80.
80, yeah. So 10 years older than you.
So my brother, you know, played a little bit of peewee football in maybe junior high, but he went on to be a pretty decent running back in high school. Now, seriously, Dylan has not played football. He said, I might try out for the football team. I said, no, you're not. I mean, he's so far behind that he wouldn't make the team. I don't think he really likes it.
I know there are some teams like that or some schools. I guess it depends on the school and the team. But, you know, again, Noah picked up diving, go for diving. There's not much, you know, and he did very well in diving.
Yeah, but you have to like it.
No, we kind of made him do that. No, he did like it.
All right. Well, getting back to Dylan sleeping with his shoes, I have a girlfriend, Sue, who still to this day, whenever I buy something that I really love, she's like, are you going to sleep with it? I don't know what it is. I don't know if I'm protecting it. I don't know if I just love it so much that I can't wait for morning so I can get it on. Actually, Dylan woke up very early this morning and put those shoes on right away.
Sweet. That's great, though, isn't it? That's a nice feeling.
But did you ever have little things that you did as a kid? Kevin and I were discussing this before you walked in this morning. And Kevin, you kind of got what I was saying, where you'd sleep with something.
Oh, yeah, totally. Whether it be like, you know, a new toy you got on Christmas.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess shoes and a coat
with the clothes, though, what I would do, you know, you get your new school clothes, and then, you know, a few weeks before the first day of school, and then the day before the first day of school, I'd set all my clothes like a little invisible human laying on my floor. So I'd have my T-shirt, maybe my baseball hat, my pants, and my shoes all laid out perfectly. So when I get up, I can put those on.
You know what's weird? Bill's wife still does that for him every morning. Terry lays out a little outfit shaped like a man-child,
really?
And then he gets up and puts them on. complete with the baseball cap.
That's not true, is it?
He's admitted it.
Wow.
Ask him next week when he comes back. But so I slept with all these different items, my crushed velvet coat, my granny boots. I got, before North Face was such a big popular thing, I had like this marshmallow lime green jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you know, thinking about my fashion choices as I'm talking about my crushed velvet coat and my granny boots and my lime green marshmallow coat.
Did you have the circle wire rim glasses? Like the
No, because I didn't really wear glasses then. I had a cowboy hat I got that I was really excited about, and I slept with that.
See, I'm from a farm town, so we didn't, you know.
You didn't get new things?
One year I got a blanket, and I slept with that. And it was warm. It was really warm.
It's very practical of you.
Yeah, it was nice.
All right, well, just the innocence of being a kid. Kevin and I had some warm fuzzies this morning, thinking back to being a kid when...
1967, that was my pillow Christmas.
You're pathetic. 312-981-7200 is the number to call. What did you sleep with? Not who. What did you sleep with? And that's also the number to text us, 312-981-7200. Bill's off this week. He'll be back next week. Steve Bertrand in his place. And me, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. Woo! Balloon danger. They're a symbol of celebration, but they can also lead to tragedy. What every parent should know, tonight's cover story on WGN TV News at 9. I used to sleep with balloons.
What?
Like if you'd get, don't look at me so strangely. If you'd get helium balloons for a birthday party, I'd bring them in my room. I didn't put them in my bed because they, you know, they
you'd
floated.
Rise up, right. Then all of a sudden you're meeting Ed Asner on another house. Remember the movie Up?
Oh, yeah.
Sweet movie.
I never saw it.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't. The kids loved it. I didn't see it.
Oh, you should see it.
It'll make me cry in the first 5 minutes, right?
It's a
true.
Great,
yes.
Yeah, the first 5 minutes where there's no dialogue, right? There's no dialogue, I don't think, and it's just beautiful. Let's watch now.
I don't want to cry. I'm already crying, thinking about my granny boots. I wish I saved them. Hi, Janet. How are you?
I'm fine.
All right, sleeping with things, inanimate objects, or I get that, it's just not people. Is there something you did as a kid that brings you back to a happier time?
Yes, but I'm not as weird as you are.
Oh, no one is. Thank you, Janet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I don't care.
I used to put my underwear on so I would be ready for the next day to go to school, and I used to sleep on the floor so my guardian angel could be in my bed.
Oh, how cute is that? Although you
how
said
crazy,
but you said you'd put your underwear on. Did you typically sleep in underwear?
No, well, I took it off because I had worn it all day. But before, when I went into bed, I put my underwear on under my pajamas so I could jump out of bed and put my uniform on. The minute, you know, I'd be halfway. I'd say 5 minutes that way.
It's tough getting that underwear on. We're actually,
yes.
You know, I hope you're listening later because, you know, Steve Bertrand pitched this idea.
I did not pitch it.
The benefits of sleeping naked. So we're going to be talking about that later on today, Janet.
I just thought it would be interesting, Janet.
Thank you so much.
Although I did do some prep work last night.
On sleeping naked?
I'm just saying.
They say it's really healthy, especially for women. Seriously.
Well, I know. That's why that's what the guest says, right?
Yeah, but I was looking at her background, and it's, you know, it'll be interesting. Just that's coming
Does
up.
Does she have a nice background?
For some people, okay. Yes. I could see why she'd want to sleep naked. We got a few texts, by the way, which I think is really cute. I talked about if you get something new that you love and you sleep with it. Here's 847. My sister and I wore our new swimsuits to bed the night before the season's first beach outing. We thought it would save time in the morning. Thanks for the memories. Oh, get this. 815. I got a glittery Michael Jackson glove in the 80s. It still sits on the headboard of my bed at my mom's house. My room has been untouched since late 90s. Weird parents.
Weird parents. She let that glove sit there then for 10 years.
She's not there anymore.
Yeah, but she said it was up in the 80s. She left in the 90s.
When I was little, I got one of those two-step step ladders. I slept with it at the foot of my bed. That, I don't know why.
So they can get into it?
I guess maybe. And somebody wants to know the name of the Nike waterproof shoes because my son really needs them. I will figure that out. 847, this cracks me up. When my brother was about 10 and got a new bike for his birthday, he had to bring the bike into his bedroom at night when he went to bed. I totally did that too.
You really did?
I did. That's sweet. Carry it upstairs. I'd wipe off the wheels. So
you did that with a bike?
Yeah.
Upstairs?
Yeah. It had a banana seat and streamers. It was really cool. I love stuff. I love stuff. Yesterday we talked to a woman.
At this time, we were talking.
Who wouldn't buy anything new for 200 days? I would last maybe 200 minutes.
You get the shakes to you a little bit?
Yeah. I love stuff. Hi, Stella. How are you?
Hi, good. Good morning. Love your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, you're not alone on the boots. I'm going to reveal my age here. I used to watch a show called Kitty a Go-Go.
Yeah.
And this girl would come jumping up on this, like, drum around circle and dance in these white go-go boots. So I had my mom buy me the white go-go boots. I was so afraid to lose them, I would sleep with them every night.
But not on, right? They were just in your bed.
I would go to sleep with them on, and then I'd take them off, and I would just hug them.
That is so cute.
And then I had a brother I shared the room with, and we used to take turns every 15 minutes with Cuddly Dougly. Remember Cuddly Dougly?
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
Hello, Ray.
Yeah. I heard they're worth, if you have one in good condition with the box, with the doghouse that came in, they're worth like $2,000, but... We had it back and forth. We broke it at the neck every 15 minutes. We take turns sleeping with it.
Yeah, that's not worth $2,000 anymore.
Oh, I bet it is.
Not if she broke it at the neck.
Oh, not the broken neck one.
She broke the neck. Yeah.
I never had a cuddly.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you for sharing yours, Stella. We appreciate it.
Yeah. So you're not alone. Okay. Oh,
that's good to know. You never slept with anything?
I don't recall that I did. No.
It's just the innocence of being a kid stuff. And, you know, it makes me laugh that Dylan slept with his new Nike waterproof shoes. And I said this morning, I go, did you sleep with them on? And he goes, I thought about it, but it wasn't very comfortable. It's the innocence of being little. And I wish we could be that again because there are big life problems. And, you know, Paris, we have big things going on in the world, but sometimes we need a little escape from all of it. And I think today might be an escape. We're going to be talking about the benefits of sleeping naked. And I'll tell you what we'll do, since I'm thinking about being a kid and something you might want, since I love stuff. If you want a holiday hockey tree, courtesy of Tree Time, it is the coolest little tabletop artificial tree. It's black and red with white mini lights. The holiday hockey tree, courtesy of Tree Time, could be yours. 312-981-7200. Let's just do caller number 10 right now. And if you go to Tree Time, they have the most ginormous selection of artificial Christmas trees at factory direct prices. Tree Time on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington or treetime.com. And if you'd really like to enjoy the holiday spirit, the lovely folks at Tree Time have put together a little air freshener for either your car or you can hang it on your artificial Christmas tree because it smells like pine. And on one side, it has a picture of Bill. And on the other side, it has a picture of me. And we can share your Christmases with you. And you know what, Kevin? We should give one of those holiday air fresheners away with the Tree Time holiday hockey tree.
So your ornament's not a tree freshener too? No.
Yeah, I said that, but you were so busy turning your screen. What are you showing me?
Someone texted their son sleeping in his hockey pads.
Oh, my God. That is adorable. That is adorable. See, kids are so cute. Congratulations to Mark in Hainesville, Illinois. Where is Hainesville? Is that out by where you grew up?
No, I'm going to say that's a little northwest, but I could be wrong.
All right. Well, congratulations, Mark. You have won our holiday hockey tree courtesy of Tree Time. And I'll tell you what, we'll give another one away later on today, but you have to sleep with it. That's the only ultimatum we're giving you. A little after 10:30, quick break, and then news with Ryan here on 720 WGN. People try to figure out where Bill Leff is. He's off this week. No worries. He hasn't been let go. He will be back next week. And then we're doing a tag team thing. I'm off all next week. I decided to do that.
For Thanksgiving, so you can
clean the house. It's going to take me 3 days, and then I got to order my Hoka turkey, which I hope it's not too late.
I was just looking at the Hoka website last night.
Howard Kaufman, Waterman, Illinois.
Right.
My little market, DeVries in LaGrange. I have to cough. Checking for hernias. None.
Oh, you came up clean. Good.
I go to the little local grocer, and I saw the sign for Hoka, and I'm like, what is that? And I tried one, and I like Butterball too, but I'm telling you, I have the holidays every year, and I have never had a better turkey.
How many people do you have?
This year it's going to be a lot. I think we have 14.
Wow.
You a baker, a griller, a fryer?
I am. I don't bake.
You don't bake a turkey, Ryan.
Yeah, you
baste a turkey.
Well, you do kind of bake.
Oven
it
the turkey.
350. Yes, I oven it.
There you go.
Are you a fryer?
No, I'm not. I tried, but my turkey was too big. You have to have. There's.
All right, wait. Let that one breathe for a second, and give it to Nick DiGilio. Yeah. For straight out of context.
Too big for the fryer or too big, like it yeah. got too crispy outside?
No. You have to, you can't put big honking ones in there because they don't cook well and they tend to, you know, make the oil bubble over. So you got to oven it.
Well, yeah, you have to make room for the displacement of the oil when you put a giant bird in there.
We had a microwaved one year because it was a little too big. Well, you know, we just didn't plan accordingly.
Wow, let's go to your house for Thanksgiving.
No,
you don't want that.
Wait,
you don't want
that. And this isn't a joke. How long do you microwave a turkey?
Well, you know, we gave it a good run in the fryer. but when we pulled it out, we noticed the innards weren't quite...
they were red?
Yeah, it wasn't ready to go. So
it looked beautiful.
Nuke it up. That's what we did.
But you cut it off the bone and then nuked it in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. You didn't just put the whole bird in there.
No, and I was not ill for 4 days after.
All right, that's good.
We survived.
It is really hard making a turkey properly. The first year, I'd rather undercook it than overcook it, because you could always put it back in.
Doctors would agree with you on that one.
You mean undercook it and then fix it if it's undercooked?
Yeah, if it's undercooked, you know, you set the timer for the right amount of time that they say, and usually it goes beyond that.
Right.
So you just put it back in right away, Ryan. You don't wait like hours and put it back in.
All right.
I just want to eat the skin.
Oh, my God, me too.
All I want to do is eat the skin.
That's why I carve it, because then I get to eat the skin.
There's nothing better than a little loose piece of skin that falls away. Ah, there, it's just dying there.
It doesn't usually fall away. If you pull it, it does. And they say that is the worst part of it. Most cholesterol's in the skin. But I don't care, man. Cholesterol never tasted better.
You bet that's right.
All right. Well, I'm excited about Thanksgiving. And so we have a service provider for our cell phones and TV. It's bundled. I'm not going to name names because I'm relatively happy with it. Although we were not picking up Wi-Fi in part of our house.
Right.
And I kept getting texts telling me that we were over our allotted data package for the month, so we're going to add 1 gig. We share 20 gigs between four people.
You know, I swear that I have unlimited data on my phone.
Well, I used to. I was grandfathered in when you got an iPhone. It was $30 a month, and you could get unlimited data.
Okay.
But... when you have kids sharing the whole thing, I can't remember how much it was. I think $30 a month, and it was unlimited data. And my husband had that, so that's $60 a month. But then the kids were using more data than us.
Sure.
So we thought it would be beneficial to get like a family share package. But again, my younger son, I'm not writing papers and doing research. No, he's streaming YouTube videos.
He was one or the other.
And what, I mean, God, he watches these YouTube people that have they have millions of subscribers. And it's so easy to be a YouTube star. Let me just tell you that. I don't even get it.
You had on those guys last week, right? The Impractical Jokesters?
Yeah, Impractical Jokers. They're on TV. They're TV stars.
Okay.
True TV. But there are like this guy PewDiePie who is a gamer who has,
I mean,
it just kills me. But anyway, so we get, 20 gigs of data to share. And I think over the weekend, I got four texts saying you have gone over your 20 gigs. So we've added 1 gig for $15. I got four of those texts on Saturday.
So $60.
Yeah, $15, four of those, so yeah.
So you're saying that there's
Boy, you do math quickly.
there's
not
an issue with
everybody.
There's an issue with your Wi-Fi though. Like it doesn't extend all the way.
Well, here's what happened. So I'm yelling at my son, my youngest one. Not really yelling because I never yell. And I said, "Oh my God, if I get another overage, I'm turning your data off." No, God, Mom, you can't. So my husband was on the phone yesterday with the particular provider and said, "You need an extender." So I say to Jim, "What kind of extender?" "Well, they just said you get an extender." And I said, "But is it like a cord? Is it a wireless?" "It just said to get an extender. I was on the phone with them for 3 hours. I didn't really ask what." I said, "But now go back on hold with them and find out." So I Googled a router extender.
What came up?
It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
It's just another router, basically, that picks up that signal. You program in your keywords, your password and your router and all that crap. And then, because Dylan was laying in his room swearing to me that he was on the Wi-Fi. And then when he looked, it said LTE.
Had the same problem, got an extender, you plug it into, you just find an outlet to plug it into. As long as it can pick up your original Wi-Fi, it kind of amplifies it and
so
continues
it can go
it
farther.
Moving. Yeah, it's fantastic. I found one on the web. I think I got it for under $10. And it's been a lifesaver for me. Yeah. Yeah, I put it actually in the laundry room because that's under my bed, my bedroom, and so it kind of extends all the way to the other side of the house. It works great.
Well, I was kind of letting Jim do my fighting, and I said, "Why don't you tell them that like we can't even pick up Wi-Fi in a room of our house, so we should get credited for all those overages.
You know, that's always a fun thing, too, when you're on hold for 3 hours, and then you get through, and then someone over your shoulder is telling you what to say. Hey, tell them this.
I can't do it when I'm on the air. I guess I could do it when I get home. But thank you, Jim, for doing it. Because now I got to get a sender.
I'll find one for you online. I'm telling you, they're pretty simple.
Looked, and you can go, you know, big time and spend a couple $100 on an extender.
A lot of guys spend a lot of money on their extenders.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. It is a Tech Tuesday. You would know, 312-981-7200 if you have a question for Bridget Carey, the CNET senior editor. We will talk to her next at 720 WGN. It's a Tech Tuesday, and we are going to talk to Bridget Carey, CNET senior editor and host of the CNET Update. Bridget, I was just talking before we got you on. I have a wireless provider, and there's a dead zone in our house that doesn't pick up the home Wi-Fi. And so my youngest son in his bedroom, he's got it all set up to be on the Wi-Fi, but it's not picking up the signal. And I have overage after overage after overage. And people are texting us saying, "Oh, no, Wendy, just remove his data." We thought he was on the wireless, and so did he, and it wasn't picking it up. So our provider said, I get an extender. So it's just a wireless extender, a router extender, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, there's two layers to what you're talking about. One,
thanks, Ryan.
I'm half in, half out. Sorry.
Go ahead, Bridget.
If you have a dead area in your house, yes, you can get these Wi-Fi boosters, essentially, that, you know, just kind of boost the signal to places that are kind of weak. It's hard to know for sure, always, but you can kind of tell with a little sleuthing on how your bars are doing in certain places and with what you noticed that, you know, he's got a lot of overages in his room. And does he have an iPhone?
Yes, and he has that instant data turned off. I told him that was the stipulation right when I got him the iPhone 6S. I said, turn that off immediately. And it was a moment because I kept yelling at him for going over, and he called me because we're a little lazy in our house, and he called me and he said, "Mom, I got to be honest with you. I have it set for Wi-Fi, and I've been watching, you know, movies all afternoon, and when I looked, it said LTE. It's not my fault," and it isn't.
Yeah, it'll just switch off. So what we were talking about the prior week was that there's this setting where if the Wi-Fi is weak, it'll go to cellular and you might not know it. But in some cases, if the Wi-Fi is weak so bad, it'll just switch off and it'll say LTE. So you got to watch for that. At least he noticed that. But yeah, find you can get one at Best Buy or any store, you know.
Yeah, Ryan Burrow, our news guy, was saying he has a little plug-in one. And I actually went on CNET.com last night. And I got to admit, CNET scared me a bit because it said it has to be on the same, like if you have a multi-band router, it has to be the same thing. But I'm just going to try it. It did give good advice, too, about taking the router, plugging everything in, the extender, rather, and seeing where the bars are. Because if it's too close, you'll be kind of making your original signal worse.
Yeah, it's not exactly probably the easiest thing to set up, too. And you do have to know if you have the right kind of broadcast same. You know how sometimes you get these routers and it says N and it has G and some numbers after them, trying to make sure you have the same frequency, you know, of everything. And you can find some guidance, too, sometimes with the maker of your router online. Sometimes they even can help with compatible ones if you have the time to do that.
My husband does. I'll let him do it. And the big news that I think we should talk about is PlayStation 4 was mentioned as a way that some of these ISIS people have been communicating, and that's because it's hard to monitor one of the servers or something on PlayStation 4. This is real, isn't it?
You know, it is. The concept is real, but I would want to clarify that the reports about the PlayStation 4 have actually been redacted, and people are going back on that because they were not verified, and there is no proof that they actually used a PlayStation 4. It was actually kind of some sloppy reporting as everyone's trying to, you know, find out what's going on in the rush of things. But the background of all this, where it's all coming from, is the fact that you're hearing a lot of people in security always – I mean, government security, like the CIA, always talking about how encrypted apps nowadays, and the fact that the chatting apps we use don't have backdoors for the government to listen in, it makes it so hard for them to do their jobs. Well, this is something, I mean, you're always hearing about with the tech companies like Apple and Google and Microsoft talking about how they want to keep things encrypted. Your FaceTime video chat messages on the iPhone, they are end-to-end encrypted and cannot be broken into by government surveillance, and there's no back doors. Lots of popular apps are. One is WhatsApp. That one's very popular. It's end-to-end encrypted. And there are some apps that anyone can download, too, if you want more security for the phone calls even. I think you're going to be hearing this be a major talking point in the upcoming election, where people are going right back to the same old debate of, is encryption such a good thing? Don't we need back doors to monitor such a thing from happening again? But the bottom line is that there will always be something out there where people can try to communicate undercover or on the quote-unquote dark web, out of the, you know, range of normal communication. There will always be something out there, and this is going to be a hot topic.
I'm surprised, and I don't mean this to be funny, I'm kind of surprised ISIS doesn't have their own app at this point.
You know, no one knows about, there hasn't been a report of it, but at this point, I mean, they could use any app. I mean, the apps are so encrypted now, they don't need to, you know, invent the wheel here. And there's even been talk that even if it wasn't encrypted, let's say they were using something that, you know, that the government did have a backdoor into, there's so much communication going on. You have that needle in a haystack, you know, comparison of being able to monitor everything and will you catch everything? I mean, it's always kind of a finger-pointing game. You know, should we blame intelligence for not being smart enough? Well, now intelligence is blaming tech companies in Silicon Valley for not being open enough. And everyone's just pointing fingers. But will this stop the next one? You know, anyone can do whatever they want in terms of, you know, terrorism. It's terrible.
I know.
But now people are kind of looking to, like, where can we point the finger? Is it the iMessage? You know, does it need a back door? And people who are privacy, you know, advocates who don't want the government spying on every single thing that they say, you know, that, it's becoming a worry now. Are we going to go into a time where, you know, everything you say is going to be monitored? Is that constitutional? It's the same questions you've heard before with Edward Snowden all being brought up again.
All right. Well, you heard the bell. Sorry, we had a shortened version of Tech Tuesday with Bridget Carey. What's coming up on the CNET update today at CNET.com?
Well, we're having a little fun with emojis because the word of the year is not a word at all. And for the first time ever, the Oxford Dictionary folks have decided that the word of the year should be the face with tears of joy, the crying while laughing face.
Oh, God.
So, I know, there's a lot of talk about emojis changing it. So we're kind of looking back at, like, what 2015 did with the emoji. Because, you know, you can order pizza now by emoji. So it's been a big year for emoji. But, yeah, it makes you a little sad. It's just kiss goodbye language. It's all
Well, thank you. We will tune in and watch that, the CNET update, which you can find at CNET.com. Thank you so much, Bridget Carey.
Thanks, take care.
We'll talk to you next Tech Tuesday. Quick break, then news here on 720 WGN.
Okay, I'll start singing now. Get down. Get
what
down.
Is it? Really a Disco Tuesday? What are you doing, Kevin?
Why not?
Why?
It's Tuesday.
It's great.
Just Casey and the Sunshine Band?
Yep. Oh, God. Kevin is chair dancing.
We didn't talk about Kevin's, when you were doing the, what you did when you were a kid. Were we not going to talk about that, or?
Well, I think we are now.
No, I just...
I think he purposely left it off. Sometimes things are better left off the air.
That's fine. I didn't realize...
But now we have to talk about it. We don't bring it up.
No, I just thought that maybe it was an oversight on your part. I didn't mean...
So bring it back and make fun of someone? Is that what you do?
No, I'm sorry that I didn't...
It is a little weird, I gotta say.
Oh, see, here we go now, right.
I'm a weird human.
All right. Earlier in the show, and I didn't want to come back to this, but now we have to. Thanks, Steve. I wanted to protect you, Kevin, but we know who the bully is. It's not me.
Was it your understanding, Kevin, it was going to come up?
Yeah, I thought
it was. I think he intentionally left it off the air because we, you know.
He had a little friend in the shower.
All right. Hang on. That is taken totally the wrong way.
Is it?
Or could be misconstrued. All right. We were talking about being a little kid and things that you did that made you comfortable. I slept with some of the items I purchased because I loved my stuff. And I said it was just such a better time then, and Kevin said that he had an imaginary friend.
Which many kids did.
I did.
Or still do.
It has come up on the air where I was late one night and my mom was going to ground me, and I told her I was hanging out with my friend's cousins, and she said, oh, really? What was their name? And, you know, I don't just say, like, Pam Hill or whatever. I go, well, Leah Brandschmidt was her name, and her cousin was Oreo Leakis. And I think my mom just didn't ground me because it was so creative. Like, Leah Brandschmidt, huh?
And so you just, that was not even an imaginary friend.
No, I just made it up to get out of trouble. But Kevin said that, you know, I said, did you ever like sleep with anything when you were a little kid? And he said, oh yeah, I'd get like a great toy for Christmas. And then I didn't stop him and he continued and said what?
I disclosed too much. Well, yeah, like you, I created my own friend, except I wasn't as creative. My imaginary friend's name was Kevin, much like myself. And he would only come out in the bathroom when I was in the shower.
And that sounds very suspect and twisted to me a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah, well, but nothing weird. Nothing weird going on.
Okay.
Only about as high as my knee. He was a miniature guy.
Some would say that's a perfect height.
And we would do science experiments in the shower.
So, as he said in the office, they would teach each other things in the
shower. Well, it was more that I would teach him. I was kind of like the professor type to him. To young Kevin.
And this ended when you were engaged? Or when? How old were you?
Well, we don't talk about him too much anymore. But no,
tell us the experiment.
Well, yeah, like every kid would do in the bathtub or in the shower. Kid. You would, you know, mix shampoo and like conditioner and soap and stir it up and make like potion. And that's what I would do with little Kevin.
Little Kevin.
Did the potion ever make little Kevin grow taller so he was your size?
No, I don't think I wanted that.
Did Kevin go off to school ever? Or?
Oh, my God.
You know, I'm not really sure what happened.
Just kind of...
Undetermined fate.
Just drifted
Kevin.
Away, huh?
We grew apart.
Right.
You grew apart. You know, there's just something to be said for the dynamics of this show. I offer way too much information, which, Kevin, you have started to do as well. And then Bill still thinks he has an imaginary...
assistant, Jeffrey.
But Bill amazes me when he talks about Jeffrey, because Jeffrey's aunt surfaced at some point, and Kevin and I always try and catch him and say, oh, really? What's Jeffrey's aunt's name? And Bill never forgets. I forgot.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's just a very weird dynamic. So welcome to it.
Right. So does Bill know? Are we supposed to share these things?
Oh, Bill's talked about Jeffrey on the air.
Okay.
And, you know, people who tuned in for the first time tuned out that next minute, because it is very bizarre. Another thing that is very bizarre that's in the news today is this whole Charlie Sheen thing.
Yeah.
You know, Charlie is a weird dude, let me just say that. But now he has said that he is HIV positive. He was diagnosed about 4 years ago.
So isn't that when the freak out started, the flip out kind of stuff?
I don't know. Which, he was on, you'll have to look back as to when, like the tiger blood and all that weird stuff that he was doing. Is that what you're talking
about? Yeah, I'm just wondering when he got kicked off the show and all of that stuff. I mean, it might explain some of his behavior.
Well, he was on the Today Show, diagnosed as HIV positive about 4 years ago. And there were a few people who were aware of it. He does claim that he told everyone he had relations with mm-hmm. that he was HIV positive. And I think we, Ryan Burrow has some audio. Is this of him on the Today Show?
Yeah, this is on the Today Show earlier.
I'm here to admit that I am, in fact, HIV positive. It's a hard three letters to absorb, you know? It's a turning point in one's life.
That's what we got.
And, yes, it is a turning point. His doctor was on as well. Matt Lauer had asked if he had any unprotected relations with anyone, and he said yes, but he did tell them. And then I heard Dean talking this morning that someone had found out about it, and a prostitute that he had frequented actually took a cell phone picture of the meds in his medicine cabinet.
Yeah.
And was going to come out, and so that's why he has now come forward and said it, even though he was diagnosed 4 years ago.
Well, he said he's paid millions of dollars to people to shut up.
Yeah, but can you trust a prostitute? That is my first question. For some things, I guess.
Right.
His doctor was on as well and said that it is completely in a controlled state at this point. There is not a cure for it. But it is in a controlled state. Is that I just have so many questions involving this, because remember Magic Johnson came out and said he had HIV, and then lo and behold, he didn't. I didn't think you could get it in remission. I thought, you know, it was kind of a death sentence.
Well, no, I think you can now live with it. I mean, they found a sort of medications
right.
and protocol
to keep it under control,
that can allow you to keep you alive. Yeah, but I don't think it goes away.
Because, I mean, really, when Magic Johnson came out and said that he had HIV, you never really heard any more about it.
Really? Oh, I thought that was huge. And then
there have been no updates. It's just like it was huge when it came out, and then it's like, oh, how's Magic Johnson doing?
Right. Well, I mean, now they think they have the medical ability
allow
people to live with it, right?
Yeah, it isn't a death sentence.
I mean, that's what, remember when we were... I mean, in the newsroom when we were doing the stories and people, you were introducing people to AIDS back in the day, and it was the always fatal. That's what the always fatal AIDS are.
Yeah, and we were talking off the air about Dallas Buyers Club, which I thought Matthew McConaughey did a really tremendous job in that movie. I mean, it was such a good movie.
Mm-hmm. He hosts SNL this week.
I did see that because here's, you know, my younger son Dylan was like, where would I know him from? And my 16-year-old says, Dallas Buyers Club. And I said, he didn't see that. And then I said, you'd probably know him from the Lincoln commercials.
Yeah.
And then right away, well, you don't like Matthew McConaughey.
I don't like the Lincoln commercials especially. I don't like the ultra-subdued approach.
That's him.
Well, it's become him. I don't think it was him early on, but...
Yeah, I don't know that all the girls go gaga over Matthew McConaughey. I don't know that I do. He's a great actor. He really was so good in Dallas Buyers Club. But, I don't know. He looks like he smells.
He looks like he smells?
Well, he looks like he would have some kind of Matthew McConaughey odor.
Okay. I'm not going to...
Doesn't he?
I don't know. I'd never thought of anything like that before. But, like, was it True Detective, right?
I didn't watch any of that. He was in that all the time.
And it's just, you know, he's this very circumspect sort of approach. And he does it now in the car commercials and... It just doesn't work for me.
HIV positive, by the way, not the same thing as having AIDS. AIDS is fatal. HIV isn't, according to some texters.
Right. So you are HIV positive, and that would develop into AIDS, and that's when you would die. So now you can be HIV positive.
And it can be controlled before it turns into
exactly.
full-blown AIDS. Well, that is interesting. Charlie Sheen just some interesting things. He does not have AIDS. As I mentioned, he was joined on the Today Show by his doctor, Robert Huizinga, an assistant professor of clinical medicine at UCLA, and was asked directly if he had AIDS. Charlie does not have AIDS. Dr. Huizinga said AIDS is a condition where the HIV virus markedly suppresses the immune system and you are susceptible to rare, difficult cancers and infections. Charlie has none of those. He's healthy. He does not have AIDS. So
1991, almost 25 years ago, when Magic Johnson disclosed his condition. 25 years ago.
Because I know when that came out, everybody was shocked.
Oh, we were standing right in the newsroom, you know, watching the crowd around the monitors.
And there are two ways that HIV is spread in the United States. By sex, obviously, unprotected sex, and sharing needles or syringes or any equipment used to prepare and inject drugs. Charlie Sheen is not sure how he got it because he said that he did not use any needles. So that's...
So then you'd think it'd be sex somehow.
Well, obviously, but, I mean, if it's one of the two, but
he's
admitted to frequent visits to prostitutes at various times. And there were two cases where he had unprotected relations, and there were two women. He told them, and they are under the care of my doctor, and it's impossible that he had transferred the virus to him, because isn't that breaking the law now if you have sex with someone
if you knowingly do it?
Yeah.
I think in some states it is. I don't know if it is everywhere. It could be. I don't know.
I'm curious to find that out. All right, we have to take a quick break, but the never-ending tragedy and tale of woe of Charlie Sheen.
Remember when his cars kept getting stolen and driven off the cliff? He had two or three cars stolen in a period of a year.
No.
That was sort of in the beginning of this, or...
Was it Matthew McConaughey? Were they Lincolns?
No, it was just a weird thing. It's like, really? Someone stole your car and then drove it off the cliff?
Well, it's like a woe is me guy. It really, nothing seems to be going well for Charlie Sheen.
Well, he seems to be more in control now.
I don't know. I thought he gave up the juice, and then he said on the Today Show that Matt Lauer said, do you do drugs? No. Do you drink? Every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's an every once in a while with him. It seems like it's all or nothing, but, you know, we can't be sure about that. All right, quick break, come back, and we have tons of stuff coming up, including after the 11:30 news, the benefits of sleeping naked. Put your pants on, Steve. Charlie Sheen, it was announced on the Today Show today. He actually said that he is HIV positive. He does not have AIDS. Charlie Sheen was fired from Two and a Half Men in 2011 after a public meltdown that had the actor lashing out at the show's creator. I kind of forgot about all that because I didn't really watch that show. And that's when Ashton Kutcher got involved.
Eventually he became involved, yes.
Among the more notorious points of his career, Charlie Sheen entered drug rehab twice, lived at one time with three women. Jeez, it's hard to feel sorry for him sometimes, isn't it?
Living with three women? I don't know. I feel pretty sorry for him.
Ouch.
No.
He has been married multiple times, has children with ex-wives Brooke Mueller and Denise Richards.
Mm. She's local too, wasn't she, Denise Richards?
I think from Downers Grove, I want to say. His ex-wives were aware of his HIV positivity and, his ex-wives and an older child are aware of it, that he said in the NBC interview. A spokesman for Mueller told People magazine that she and her sons with Sheen's six-year-old twins do not have HIV. And his salary on Two and a Half Men was one of the highest on TV at the time, $125 million per episode.
You ever watch that show?
I just said I never watched it.
Well, that was off the air.
No, I just...
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. You're busy getting your Wintrust business lunch together. You
it's
have
gonna
a hard
be a good
week.
Show today. Yeah, I never watched that show ever.
Yeah,
ever.
I saw a couple of reruns when Ashton was on because I'm a big Ashton Kutcher fan. But yeah, I
did. I did watch the first Ashton Kutcher one, I think, but that's it.
I just said I watched it too, just in case you were going to ask me again.
Have you ever seen it with Ashton Kutcher? Because he's really good.
All right, quick break. Steve, of course, has a great Wintrust business lunch coming up because he's been working hard at it ever since we got on the air today.
Have you seen the Walmart earnings report today?
No.
It's amazing.
Do you know that there are benefits to sleeping naked?
I do. I'm living proof. No, that's not even true. That's not even true. My wife is home listening, so.
Yeah, I it's supposed to be really good, especially for women. We'll find out all about that after the 11:30 news, which is coming up next here on 720 WGN. I got to tell you, I love to sleep.
I'm coming to terms with that, too.
I know. And I am a little bit lazy, but I'm telling you, when you get a good night's sleep, there is nothing better.
Last night, you know, people want to stay up as late as they can. I want to do this. I'm like, if I can just stay up a little bit longer, then it wouldn't be embarrassing to go to bed, right? If I can make it to 9:45.
Who makes fun of you?
Little Kevin. I don't know. In your head, don't you sort of like think, I should stay up?
No. I say, no? When I'm tired, go to bed.
What time? What's your typical?
Last night was a pretty great night. Everybody, including two teenage boys and husband, asleep before 10:30.
Yeah, see, you don't know what you're talking about, because I'm saying 8:30.
Well, that's lame.
See? That's what I'm saying.
What time do you get up in the morning?
About 4:30.
All right. Well, then you have to. When I did mornings, yeah, I woke up at 3 in the morning, so I went to bed usually about 11.
Right.
And then
that's
I would sleep later.
No, I'm Sleeping Beauty.
All right. We have Deb Bowen on the line, and Deb... we're going to talk about the benefits of sleeping naked because we are completely intrigued. And what gives you the credentials to talk about sleeping naked?
Well, I have been in the nudist industry, including optional industry, for the past 25 years.
Steve, you too.
No, just 25 minutes.
Oh.
Same difference.
All right. So you have been, what is exactly the nudist clothing optional business?
Well, I am actually the marketing director for Caliente Resort in Tampa, which is the nation's most luxurious clothing option resort. You have different types. There's nudist camps. There's nudist parks. There's nude resorts. There's nude cruises. And the same for clothing optional. The difference is, you know, one, they want you to be naked all the time. And the other one, you get to be as naked as you feel comfortable. However that is.
Now, there used to be a couple nudist colonies right in Indiana, just on the border. Naked City. Are there still, do you know, Deb?
There are still several. There actually are nudist resorts all over the world.
Sure.
Not just in the United States.
No, but I'm talking about right in Indiana in the Chicago area. There was Naked City and...
That's what it was called? That's very original.
Yeah, it was in Roselawn, Indiana.
And... you know, I might have been to a nudist beach in Jamaica at some point around Negril, and it's freeing and interesting. But a lot of people that complain about it say that the people that participate in nudist activities are the people who should probably be wearing clothes. But that's not really true, is it?
It's not true. And the difference between being nude at a nude resort or wearing a skimpy little bathing suit at the beach is you're not going to be judged like you would at a public beach at a nudist resort. It's just not part of what they're about.
No, but if I may just say, put sunscreen on your nipples. That's all. If that could be my word to the wise.
Well, for the guys, a little more than the nipples, but yeah.
Okay, so it's good to talk to you, Deb. And we're talking about sleeping in the nude, right? And the benefits of that?
Correct. There are substantial benefits for sleeping in the nude.
And they are?
What?
Well, one of them, they make you feel healthier. Just like you said, when you were naked on the nude beach, it's just very freeing and very relaxing. So once you get used to your own body being naked, you'll find that you sleep more soundly. Another thing that sleeping naked does, it balances your melatonin. So it keeps you a little more calm.
How does it do that? Because
yeah,
I know
how would having clothes on imbalance your melatonin?
Because it makes you rest that much better, so your brain waves calm down quicker. You know, a lot of people have a problem with brain racing at night, just your thoughts coming 100 miles an hour, and you find it hard to slow that down so that you can fall asleep. The less material you have on your body, the less constricted your body is, the easier it is for you to relax and your mind relax so you fall asleep faster, and you fall asleep more deeply.
So would you fall asleep more quickly with no covers on?
Personally, I like to be naked, but with a little sheet or something.
I have to have a cover. I don't know what it is. Because really, think about it, Deb. It's not like it's going to protect you in any way, shape, or form if you have this paper-thin sheet, but something about having a sheet over... I have to have something over me.
And I'm the same way. I sleep completely naked, but I have to have at least a little sheet or something over me.
Okay, but there's a conflict there, isn't there? Because if you say you're uncovered... Your melatonin is more equally spread.
But can I just jump in? Because if you, like, sometimes I'll just sleep in a t-shirt and shorts, but if something gets bunched up or if you turn and your drawstring on your shorts gets kind of uncomfortable, that is something that would definitely make you uncomfortable and cause a little bit of stress going, ah, God, this isn't comfortable. So that would eliminate some of that.
A lot of pajamas are made with elastic. Elastic is a hostile fabric in itself. So just that alone is constricting. And like she said, you know, you don't want your drawstring to get wrapped too tight.
All right. Is it Deb Bowen or Bowen? I want to make sure I'm saying your name right.
Bowen.
Okay.
Bowen.
Deb Bowen is a... She works in the nudist clothing optional business and has for over 12 years, Director of Marketing, Media, and Public Relations for Caliente Spa and Resort. Where is that located?
It's just north of Tampa and Land O'Lakes.
All right. So melatonin levels can rise if you sleep naked. I have heard, and if you look at any woman's magazine in the world, and Steve, you and I have different versions of women's magazines. I'm talking Glamour, Mademoiselle, or Vogue.
Mm-hmm.
They say women should sleep naked because it's healthier for their areas, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
Is that one of the reasons to sleep naked, too?
That is one of the top five reasons for women to sleep naked, because it keeps your area aired out. I'm not sure what kind of show we're on.
It puts the air in area. Let's just say that.
I got a text.
It's the air in the area, reduces the yeast buildup, keeps it all fresh and clean so that the yeast balances and you don't get any kind of infection.
Fresh and clean, no caffeine.
I'm trying to move on. It's no longer called Naked City. It's now Ponderosa Sun Club.
There you go. I was going to say, I think it changed names, but it is still there.
Right.
Ponderosa Sun Club.
Right, you go and you have a bad steak.
I used to love those steaks with the little plastic spears in them that would identify
if
they were rare or medium.
So much more comfortable talking about this.
All right, so I don't know how many reasons we have tackled right now.
I think that was 18 right there.
No.
That was three.
Oh, see, you got to keep track.
It's going fast.
All right, Deb Bowen, what are the remaining two reasons that benefit you by sleeping naked?
For both men and women, it regulates your cortisol. So
stress, the stress hormone.
In the middle of the night, you may not be as hungry as you would. You might not want to wake up and go grab a little munchie something.
Right, because then you'd have to put clothes on if you were walking down into the kitchen.
Are these facts according to Deb's world, or is this scientifically proven? I mean,
they are proven by health individuals and clinics across the U.S.
Yeah,
I mean, and the final one is for men only. Just as your doctor tells you, if you want to increase your sperm count, not to wear tidy whities, wear boxers. If you want to increase it just a little more, don't sleep in anything.
Can I just tell you right now, Deb, it's pretty fun to watch Steve Bertrand being very uncomfortable and resituating himself in the chair right now. Kevin, did you notice that?
Wendy, I can feel the vibe all the way from here.
Well, okay, but Deb, here's the thing. I'm the nudist in the crowd. Right? I'm the guy who says...
he has said on occasion that... We're
way too self-conscious and way too willing to cover up all the time. So, I mean, I sent this to you with the idea that, you know...
How can Steve relax to become more, happy in his own skin, literally?
Well, first of all, you should be naked more.
Even
if it's just at home. But if it's not at home, you should definitely go on a nude vacation or a clothing optional vacation. Take a nude cruise. Go to a nude resort.
You know, where this can start, and I know this sounds really ridiculous, but I...
you said nude cruise, right? There are nude cruises?
Lots of nude cruises, and all of them are sold out every time. Carnival Cruise Line is one of the leading nude cruise pliers, vendors.
Be careful when you're playing shuffleboard. That's all I got to say, man. But the first, this is what will help you ease into the being nude, Steve. it's not good to lay out in the sun, although women feel, and men, feel more attractive and they feel slimmer if they're tan. So I am all about putting sunless tanning lotion on. And when you get out of the shower and you put it on, you have to let it dry. So you walk around naked for a little bit until it dries. That could be a way to ease into it.
Are you trying to help me?
Do you want help?
Yes.
Well, I know. I mean, I
need help.
I'm the guy. No, Deb, I'm the guy who says, you know, we talk about this on the air about how, you know, students no longer take showers after gym class or everyone's always covered up. And I think that's a bad thing. I mean, I think, you know, like you guys were saying, we're so self-conscious because the only people we ever see naked are the movie stars, right? Or the people with perfect bodies. So if it was less unlikely to see someone naked, I think everyone would be a little bit more relaxed. So I'm on that bench.
So everybody should take their clothes off and then we'll all become less self-conscious.
I think that's probably true, yeah.
I say let's do it. Free the nipples.
Free the nipples.
All right, you go first, Deb.
It says that on your bumper sticker, I believe, Steve. All right, well, Deb, how do we get in touch with you if we'd like to find out more?
In touch.
You can reach me at Caliente Resort or email me directly at dbowen@calienteresorts.com. I'm happy to answer any questions anytime.
Thank you so much for chatting with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Did you have fun? You seem so, like, uptight.
Well, I didn't think the benefits were going to get to. She didn't list the benefits.
She listed 5 benefits.
No, I mean on the pitch sheet. So I didn't know what her benefits were going to be.
That's why we had a guest on so we could find out.
I know.
I know the next Steve Bertrand travel trip now.
There we go. Nude Italy.
Nude Italy. Yeah.
And now that would be good.
Nidley. That's what we're going to call it.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. I'll come back. Thanks, Kim, for that lovely idea. Steve Bertrand Travel, if you'd like to find out more.
Getting a text now that Naked City and the Ponderosa Sun Club are actually 2 different
venues.
So I want to. And then No Pants France. That's going to be our next trip. What?
And someone said that they are naked right now driving on the Kennedy.
I know, because we saw them on an IDOT camera.
I got to tell you, there's this health 54health.com and tips for better sleep. Cortisol, the stress hormone, is lower if you sleep naked. It says that. And when your cortisol level is too high, it can increase your appetite, blood pressure. It's the stress hormone.
Mm-hmm.
So sleeping naked may make that cortisol level drop. Melatonin, the beauty sleep ingredient, melatonin will help release the growth hormone. When these two get together, they produce anti-aging hormones. So melatonin, you need it to control your sleep patterns, and sleeping naked could benefit those levels.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
Yeah, but now I'm giving you proof. It's because you're like, are these your rules? Or?
Well, the way she was saying it, I wasn't sure if they were scientifically proven or not. But
sleeping naked can benefit you by improving your circulation.
Because it takes away the hostile fabric?
Elastic is hostile.
It's a hostile fabric.
Because sometimes you restrict proper blood flow. And your bare skin actually absorbs more nutrients. So it helps your skin to regenerate if you sleep naked.
See, here's my thing. I mean, my point always has been, right, we just need to be more relaxed and at ease with ourselves, right?
Yep.
And that's what I always say. So I think that's a big benefit. I think these other things are kind of, you know, they're kind of forcing a wooden peg through a circle or something, you know? I mean, because you're still covered up. To say your melatonin's better because you're uncovered, well, you're still covered in a blanket. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but there are some people
who still have cloth wrapped over you.
But it's not, it's just like placed on you gently. There are some people that wear like flannel nightgowns all the way up, you know, to their neck. And that's, you know, you're all enclosed. And, you know, add to that hot flashes, which happen to women in this particular age of life. And, you know, maybe sleep. I sleep in like a tank top and shorts.
That's great.
But now, maybe something different.
I sleep in my bedroom.
Take a break, and then it's the Wintrust Business Lunch with my favorite person, Steve Bertrand, coming up next here on 720 WGN. It's Wendy Snyder here along with Steve Bertrand, and Bill Leff is on vacay this weekend, taking the week off. He'll be back next week. We're tag team because then I'm off. And Steve, you did a fantastic Wintrust business lunch
today.
Was
it your favorite one ever?
Yes, I heard some of it.
Thank you.
It was really good.
I don't want to ask any more details.
And we had a guest who was scheduled coming from a TV appearance, and it was weird because we've never had this happen before. Colin Donnell is in the studio with us from Chicago Med, and you just had to sit in the green room during the Wintrust business lunch. Wasn't Steve great?
It was awesome.
You know, I just want to say you're welcome. Really, it was my pleasure.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
But you came right over, and then we had a little lunch break here. So you guys, I saw you eating a little Jimmy John's action in the green room.
We did. My wife and Danielle from our publicity team over at Chicago. We ordered from right across the street.
And they were freaky fast, weren't they?
So fast.
You said it took you longer to figure out what you wanted than it getting delivered
it
here.
It did. I think ordering online took longer than it did to deliver.
They're so freaky fast.
They don't lie.
No. What'd you get at Jimmy John's?
I don't know, because I scarfed it down while I was doing a little Twitter Q&A. It had hot peppers and sprouts.
Was
so
it hard to
I
focus
remember.
On the business lunch while you were eating?
You forced me to pay attention.
All right, so the show debuts tonight.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, if you're in theater, you look for the reviews the next day. But
And you were in theater.
Hopefully still in theater if they haven't kicked me out.
But in this case, right, the reviews are pre-out in many ways.
Yeah,
TV,
they've been. I've heard they've been trickling out.
So do you get nervous on opening night for a TV series?
I mean, it's interesting because it's we've been at it now for about 3 months or so, and it's a little hard to remember sometimes what you were doing 3 months ago, depending on how busy we've been.
Right.
So, and we've been really busy, you know, cranking out this stuff. So we're a little far removed from what we first shot, but it's great to see everybody so excited, and it's fun to see the reviews start popping out, and it seems like people like it. So,
tonight, NBC, 8 p.m., where are you watching it?
I'm going to be watching it at home with a couple of friends and my wife. It's going to be who's sitting right behind me right
yes,
now.
Yes, you're a newlywed. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. About 5 months now. 5.5 months now? Yes.
Honey, will you marry me? I'm moving to Chicago.
Exactly.
Yes, but you told John Hamm that you loved him. Why? I bet you wanted to marry him. Explain that story. You get called John Hamm's little brother.
It's happened.
Yes, I could see where it would.
There's a little similarity. We're both from St. Louis, actually.
Yeah, Midwest roots.
We're both Midwestern guys. He went to high school at my father's alma mater, which being, you know, asking where you went to high school is a big St. Louis thing. So, of course, that was my first question. No, I already knew the answer. Okay. we had managed to not cross paths. In all the years that we've been in New York at the same time, we'd never crossed paths in all the time that Mad Men has been on. So I was so excited to meet him. And I think I just kind of silently geeked out at the table while we were sitting with friends. And
you know the Chris Farley show back in the day when he interviewed Paul McCartney? He's like, I remember when you were at the Beatles. That was excellent. Was it something like that?
Probably. It's probably not as awkward, or maybe it's more awkward than I remember it being.
And how did you hook up? It was after a performance, or you had some friends?
We have two very, very close friends, Andrew Rannells and Mike Doyle, who we went out to dinner with, and we were on our way to meet them. Patty and I were on our way to meet them, and they said, hey, we've invited John to come along and have dinner with us, if that's all right. And I was like, wait, what? John Hamm? No, that's fine. That's totally fine. That's totally fine.
And so, you did say you loved him, didn't you?
It may have slipped out.
Well, who doesn't, Colin, really? I mean, who doesn't?
He's got it all going on.
He does.
And all right, so now you've been on the stage with Joel Grey. How was that?
He's amazing. I mean, the man is a legend. He's a legend of the theater. He's a legend of film. He's incredible. It was my first lead in a Broadway show.
Experience he's the guy.
Between Joel Grey and Sutton Foster. I mean, it was incredible. And Joel and I had the bulk of the show together, and it was great.
So the stage turned into some TV work. Mm-hmm. You were on a couple of shows.
I've been on a couple of shows. I've had my first opportunity was doing a guest spot on a show called Pan Am for ABC. That was supposed to be a one-off little guest star, and they liked me enough to write me into a couple more. And then I went off and did a show for the CW called Arrow that some people seem to like.
A lot of people seem to like that. And now you've also worked with Diane Lane, Elizabeth Banks, Every Secret Thing.
Yeah, it was a...
he's been everywhere.
I've worked with some very, very good people. Whether they remember working with me is a different story, but...
Sure, John Hamm's little brother.
Well, that so guy. Here you are then working with Dick Wolf, who obviously is a monster in TV,
mm-hmm.
and Oliver Platt, who I've always...
He's a great actor.
Yeah, he's always... In my house, I force my family to watch Pieces of April every Thanksgiving, yeah. right? And no one likes it but me. But, you know, he's one of those guys who's done it in just about every venue and now in TV. When you're working with someone like that, do you pick up things from him or does he pick up things from you?
I don't think he has anything to learn from me, but I certainly have a lot to learn from him. He's, you know, it's the biggest joy and like the coolest thing about working in all these different venues and, you know, and also working with, on short-lived things that don't necessarily go very far. Like you get the opportunity to work with a lot of people, like, Diane Lane, Elizabeth Banks, and you know Christina Ricci, and all these people that I've gotten to like, play opposite of. You pick things up along the way. You try to pay attention and not, you know, you steal. You steal as much as possible.
I'm interested in the idea though. So when you're acting, when you're on Broadway, you know you're in New York. It's a and you're surrounded by the acting culture there. If you're, I'm assuming that much of the TV you've done before is shot in L.A. You know, surrounded by sort of an acting culture there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you bring those actors and those producers and all and drop them in Chicago. And there, I just wonder if there's a different mix in the soup when people are sort of, when the fish are taken out of those waters.
You know, it's, I did a series up in Vancouver, Arrow shot in Vancouver. I actually haven't shot anything in LA. It's either been New York, Vancouver, and now here. You know, there's something really, really cool. Excuse me.
Jimmy John's coming back
Jimmy
up.
Jimmy John's. I think I just tasted Sprout.
You want more? We can get them back.
They'll be here.
They'll be here
fast,
before the end of the interview. That's for sure.
As a matter of fact.
This is when he's going to say all the people of Chicago are great and we're, you know, real people. Just giving you some time to recoup there.
No, there's something really special about being able to shoot and do things outside of those centers that are right. New York and L.A. because we get to do it in this great bubble away from the studios and away from all the pressures of those two coasts. And not to say that there isn't its own form of pressure here, but it's, you know, we... Everybody had told me what a family Chicago Fire had come to be over the last few years. And I was like, yeah, sure, that's cool. I know how it goes. They're your family, sure, right?
Right, I've heard
no, but
that.
They are. Right. And it's because of being here. It's because everybody, you know, unfortunately has to be away from their families a little bit, and you have each other to hang out with. And it's amazing. And walking into that sort of situation and knowing that was how it was expected to be. And my wife, Patty, has gotten an opportunity to spend quite a bit of time here. And it's the welcoming sensation of not only the people that we're working with, but the city of Chicago itself.
Patty's an actress too, right?
She is. She's an amazing, amazing actress.
Oh, this is Patty's interview.
No, look. Well, so what does she do while you're here? I mean, do you pick up some acting work too, or do you, you know, just...
Come on, hop on a mic. Go ahead.
Get over here.
Because really, it is a little different where you're moving somewhere and living for a long period of time.
It is. There's, you know, she has spent quite a bit of time here, but she's also been hopping back and forth to New York to do, I'll let her talk about it, but you know, she's had some great workshops that she's, we do a lot of workshops and readings as theater actors. And so, you know, I mean, you can say what they are.
Hi. Oh, they're so cute.
Wife.
They're newlyweds. Yeah. That changes a little bit, but that's cute.
Chicago has been a great city because, I mean, A, it's so close to New York. I mean, I've been to New York and back in a day and not even been tired. but it also has such a great theater scene, and also all the shows that shoot here are fantastic. So I've been sort of in and out. I go home for a week or so, come back. You know, our dogs are, we have two dogs.
I was going to ask.
Here.
No kids yes. yet, but the dogs.
Not the puppies.
Yeah. The puppies.
Yeah. So it's nice. It's nice to be in New York for work, but when I'm, you know, it's nice to be here because this is where he is and this is where my dogs are. So, you know, it's kind of silly
dogs.
To be in New York
without
my family.
I think it actually
family.
Was supposed to go in reverse. This is where the dogs are and this is this, where I right. am as well.
Who are you? What's your name?
So Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, now Chicago Med. Tonight. It debuts tonight, 8 o'clock, NBC.
Mm-hmm.
And I have heard rumblings that Chicago Justice may be in the works as well. This is going really, really well.
There is a reason why Chicago Fire and Chicago PD are so successful, and it starts at the top, certainly. Dick Wolf knows what he is doing. I mean, he's been doing it successfully for 25-plus years in TV now. And, you know, having Ipatha and Oliver is just such an amazing get for us.
Ipatha's back, too, right? Because she was
back.
Law and Order
for
a long time.
18 years,
wow.
I think it was. I mean, and... You know, if somebody comes back to working for a producer like that after having spent so much time with them, they must be awesome to work with. You wouldn't want to put yourself through something like that, through another possible stretch of years, if it wasn't a great experience. So,
it's Colin Donnell. We are talking to him and his lovely wife, and we're going to take a quick break and come back. I am a hypochondriac, so I will be watching Chicago Med. I will have some prognosis and diagnoses. We'll talk more about that. 312-981-7200 is the number to call. It is Wendy Snyder. It's Steve Bertrand at 720 WGN. All right, it's Bill Leff is off this week. It's Wendy Snyder, Steve Bertrand sitting in with me this week, and we are talking with Colin Donnell. And tonight is the premiere of Chicago Med, NBC's third drama in the Chicago series, at 8 o'clock. And really, I am a hypochondriac, and I used to love watching the Med shows because I would try and figure out what's going on. Have you had any thoughts about being a doctor, or were you ever a hypochondriac? Are you into the medical stuff in real life?
You know, in real life, I've been surprised at how interested I've been in the real life medicine. Now, caveat to that, I am not a doctor, nor will I ever be a doctor, and I hope when people come up to me on the street after watching the show, they don't expect me to know how to be a doctor.
Oh, that would be bad.
they had you guys in operating rooms, right? In the
they did. We actually got to observe a surgery. I've seen
was it a good
a
one?
Surgery. It was a gunshot. He was all right. He was being repaired after being quickly repaired in the ER. But it was amazing. He was opened up. And
did you faint?
No, I literally could not get close enough to it. I was so interested and fascinated by these amazing people who were working inside of this man to save him, that I wanted to just see everything that was going on. It's amazing what happens inside the body. There's a lot of parts in there.
It is pretty wild. But then being the hypochondriac that I am, when I know about those certain parts of the body, they ache or something hurts or I'm going to have a heart attack or something like that. The more you know, the more worried, I guess, you become.
Well, WebMD is your friend then, isn't it?
It's your life companion.
You have to be careful what you read on the internet. I will say my sister is a bit of a hypochondriac as well, and she bought me my own Mayo Clinic book of symptoms before the internet was big. So I had girlfriends calling me going, okay, I got a bit of a rash, and I got this going on. What do you think it is, Dr. Snyder?
I had one of those
flip,
growing
flip,
up.
Flip, flip, flip,
see?
Flip,
my mom
flip.
Gave me one for my birthday.
See,
we
always, right, really?
Yeah.
We had the like natural health healing book. So it was like, what herbs can I rub on that to make it feel better? It just tells you a little something about my childhood. It was all natural.
You know, there is something interesting in the fact that you saw a surgery of a gunshot victim, You know, and here we are in Chicago where, you know, we're trying hard to dispel this national sort of reputation for gun violence. The Spike Lee movie is coming out. Mm-hmm. And then here you are on the other side of it with these, you know, as part of these Dick Wolf dramas. You know, it was sort of coincidence, I think, that they started at the time when the violence ticked up as well. But it must be sort of weird to be living it fictionally in the city where we're living it in real life, too.
I mean, you know, the sad truth of it is it's not purely a Chicago problem. I think certainly throughout the series it will be addressed, but it's addressed as a national issue as well, national, international, you know, considering the events that have happened in the past few days. It's sure. There is an uptick to accessibility to guns and what the who knows what the solution is. And obviously, you know, we're figuring all that out, and it's a discussion that's especially going to be important going forward into this next election and everything, you know, not to dive down the hole of politics right now, but it's I think it's important that if in any way these shows can, you know, our job is not to maybe pass judgment or comment so fully on them, but if we can draw attention to that issue and lead, and hopefully a discussion arises out of that, you know, I think we've done a good thing.
And to show the other side of it as well, with the doctors are doing what they can to save these victims.
Yes, and to know, and having known these people who are working in Cook County General Hospital, and you know, and all these hospitals around Chicago, and having discussed these things with St. Louis doctors, New York doctors, L.A. doctors, I think there are the good ones. Mr. Rogers, always look for the helpers, right? I mean, these people are the helpers. They are doing what they can to fix things on their end.
And I'm sure they take these feelings home with them when they lose someone. I mean, I know you get used to it, but do you really,
no,
being a doctor?
It's a sad truth that death is a part of every doctor's day-to-day life. Whether it's a traumatic death or somebody just passing in their hospital rooms, it's just a part of it. And I think that it takes an amazing spirit, an amazing person to be able to deal with that on a day-to-day basis and carry on in their lives. It's a privilege to be able to play these people.
I'm in tonight, NBC, 8 p.m., Chicago Med, and his name is Colin Donnell. Such a pleasure to meet you and your lovely wife, Patty Murin.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having
us.
Does
he ever play doctor with you?
It's time for news, Patty.
I don't know if my mom would want me to
commercial,
answer
commercial,
you don't
commercial.
Have to answer it. All right. It's such a pleasure to meet you, Colin and Patty, and continued success, and we hope to see you in here again, and I sure hope that Chicago Med sails to the top.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. It is Steve Bertrand. It is Wendy Snyder. We are 720 WGN. It's Wendy Snyder here along with Steve Bertrand. Thank you so much, Ryan. I don't know if you guys saw this beautiful little piece of art that came after the Paris attacks. It was a peace sign, and Ryan, I know you saw this. In the middle of the peace sign that's making the peace part, it was the Eiffel Tower. And it was really beautiful. We were going to talk to the artist, Jean Julien, who came up with that peace symbol thing. But he has just been swamped in the last few days and has canceled on us, unfortunately, because I would have loved to talk to him. There was also a guy who came out during live coverage on CNN and rolled out a baby grand piano with a peace sign on it and started singing Imagine by John Lennon. It's interesting what happens in a time of tragedy where people want to do something to make it better. And I don't know what you do. Yesterday we talked about this, where you could change your profile picture on Facebook and make it look like the French flag. I don't know what to do to make anything better, but sometimes we try. And I really love this beautiful little La Tour Eiffel that was put together by this artist, Jean Julien. We were going to talk to him, but he bailed.
Oh, he did?
He's just been so busy.
Well, I can understand that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's nice because, like, the Imagine thing was impromptu,
yeah,
right? And so this work of art was probably pretty impromptu, too. I mean, it came up pretty quickly, you know.
I've never been to Paris. I would like to go to Paris. And if I was into tattoos, which I like tattoos, and I had some kind of connection to Paris, I would do that peace sign Eiffel Tower thing. It's just
so
beautiful.
You like tattoos?
I do. I have one.
And you
I,
like this, so let's just do it.
But I have no connection to Paris. Mm. I mean, I know this is a tragedy, and I could do it to remember the people, but... you know, there are people who go there or went there on a honeymoon who that has so much in their hearts meant to them, and I think this would be a perfect tattoo.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It really is. Later on in the show, we're going to talk to ABC News correspondent Tom Rivers, who's going to give us an update on all the goings-on in Paris. I did notice something that was brought to my attention, this ISIS kill list. And I know when Bill was here a few weeks ago, he had read this kill list that ISIS targeted several cities in the United States, and in Illinois, Orland Park was mentioned.
Really?
This was a while ago.
There could be, because there was an arrest or two, right, out of someone from Orland Park?
I believe so, but I wanted to look at it because when someone sent this to my attention this morning, I went to Snopes.com and. Here's the news. The wake of the November 2015 attacks in Paris by ISIS militants left more than 120 people dead, brought renewed fears to Americans about the possibility for ISIS's visiting violence and death upon American citizens on U.S. soil. Those fears prompted the social media circulation of a kill list of U.S. cities and towns in which ISIS had reportedly announced they were targeting Americans for assassination. But this list came out before. It was not news that arose out of the November 2015 Paris attacks, nor was it specifically a collection of cities ISIS had announced they were targeting for the killing of random Americans. And I want to put this to rest because Snopes.com really solves a lot of my issues. The ISIS, quote, kill list originated with a report released by ISIS back in March of this year that contained the names, photographs, and home addresses of more than U.S. Armed Forces personnel around the U.S. and urged ISIS followers and sympathizers in the U.S. to kill those servicemen. So that's where the Orland Park thing came up.
I see. Okay.
And then it was recirculated in November 2015 after these attacks this month. And some news agencies, I won't mention the Patch, which is really, it's not the Patch's fault. They are just taking what's on the internet and putting it to local towns where you can subscribe to your own town Patch.
Sure, sure.
But this was on it. So I think it needlessly scares people.
Well, we're in the scary time now. And I was saying that a little bit earlier because Kim was talking about, I think there was a soccer stadium evacuated in Europe.
Yeah.
There was a guy apparently charged a cockpit door, maybe, you know, so there was a flight. There was another one in Baltimore this morning. So, I mean, you remember after
9/11
and even after the Oklahoma City bombing, you know, there were all sorts of, you know, frantic reports in the days and a couple of weeks afterward. And, you know, we're just in that stage and things are going to settle down again. They always have, you know, and they will in this case, too.
It makes you think about things. I heard my husband telling my younger son, Dylan, you know, don't be scared, but keep your eyes open. What else do you tell a soon-to-be 13-year-old? My 16-year-old is worried about it, but...
He is worried about it or is not
my 16-year-old really isn't, but my 12-year-old's a little, you know, well, boy, there's all this stuff going on. How did that happen? How did they kill all those people? There are questions that I wish I knew the answers to. And I get a little panicky myself. I know they say, don't stay in your house because the terrorists have won. But it is a scary world out there now.
Yeah, it is. But it was on Thursday, too. You know, I mean, just the fact that this has happened doesn't change that. Brett Ahrens is a writer for MarketWatch.com, and I used to have him on the Business Lunch from time to time. But he wrote a really interesting piece, and not to diminish anything that has happened, but, you know, he says, how do you react? Let me see where...
Boy, that's a really good question.
Don't lose perspective, he writes. About 130 Americans are murdered every 3 days. About 130 Americans die in car accidents every day. Your chances of being killed by terrorists are almost non-existent. Don't blindly believe everything you're told by those in power. Truth is usually the second casualty of every terrorist atrocity. As people say in Missouri, show me. Don't forget your math. Should we indict Europe's 20 million Muslims for, say, 10 terrorists? That's one person in 2 million. By way of comparison, for example, in the U.S., about one man in 200 is a registered sex offender. Does that make the other 199 guilty? So just sort of a nice way to put it in perspective with some of the numbers.
That does make me feel better, but you don't know if those numbers are going to turn around with the terrorist attacks. That's, I mean, yeah, you worried about car accidents and plane crashes and becoming a victim to violence. I've always kind of thought about those in the back of my mind, but I never really worried about terrorism.
Well, that's
before.
What terrorism does, right? It scares you, and that's the whole point of it. It's designed to scare people. That's what it does. The fact is that, you know, there are risks every day. You're much more likely to be injured in a car crash. I'm going to take a train home today. You know, it's much more likely that my train is going to derail than that I'm going to be impacted by a terrorist in my lifetime. It's much more likely, I would say probably, that my train will derail tonight than I would ever have of being impacted by a terrorist.
I don't know if I should be worried if your train derails tonight or if I should feel
well, if
at
it
ease.
Happens and I know it's over with, we did it, right?
Hey, Steve, can we get a live report when that train
it depends derails? On depends on if I'm in the first car there. All right, enough joking about that.
Yeah, that's yeah. All right, sorry.
Well, just a small derailment, no injuries.
Slip the tracks. Right.
Yeah, because it is wet. It is really ugly out there. But coming up after the 2:30 news, we're going to be talking to Tom Rivers, a Paris update of what is going on. And what do you tell your kids? I'm thinking back of 9/11, and I've mentioned this on the air before. We were having a block party in our neighborhood on 9/11 several years ago. And I said, you know what? I'm going to take the kids in the neighborhood, young and old, and we're going to walk down to the fire department and we're going to videotape the kids asking the firemen questions about 9/11. And unfortunately, that was before I had my own videotape recorder or camcorder, if you will. And the neighbor that I borrowed it from, I got about 2 minutes before the battery went dead.
Oh.
But it got me thinking, and even though we weren't recording, I let the kids talk and ask questions because they didn't really know what was going on. And they had a beautiful little, it wasn't that little, it was a big piece of art that was shaped as the American flag. And if you looked very closely, zoomed in, you would see the names of everybody that perished in 9/11.
Oh, yeah, sure, right. I know what you mean.
And it's really beautiful and touching and sad all at once. So the kids could kind of put that into perspective when they could see all those names of the people that perished. And then we were walking back, and this bright young girl who lives on our block must have been in about sixth grade, maybe fifth grade. And we were talking about the people who took the planes and hit the building, and she said, that was intentional? My parents told me it was an accident.
Oh, my, really?
And then I'm thinking, what do you tell kids? You don't want to scare them, but you want to say that the world is not always a great place. So I say, call Uncle Steven.
Right, and I'll read you Brett Aaron's column.
Yeah, but that does make me feel a little better. I mean, I used to be scared to fly, and everybody said, you know, there are more car accidents than there are plane
By
crashes.
Far. I mean, you're much more at risk driving to the airport than flying. Much more. Much more.
You're like Dr. Feelgood. You're making everybody feel better and feel more calm in this time of trouble.
Dr. Feelgood gets paid.
What do you want? You want me to give you a 20?
Okay, I'll take it.
Jeez.
No.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to turn the corner a little bit because I want to tell you there's other ugliness in the world, and some of it is bizarre, and some of it happens in the United States. It's a crazy news story that I would like to share with you next.
Awesome.
Here on 720 WGN. All right, I have so many things to talk to you about, Steve Bertrand, who's sitting in for Bill Leff. But first, I want to share some stories with you to show you that the world is not all bad. Well, sometimes it's bad. There was a woman in Lake County, Florida. She's facing charges after she called 911 because she wanted some chicken wings.
Yeah, I could see that. Sometimes you really have to have them fast.
I know, and she really had a good excuse. 45-year-old Leanne Gay Watson called 911 Wednesday afternoon after telling the operator that she wanted some chicken wings and some smokes. The responding officers reported that when they showed up at Watson's home, she said she'd been drinking and she was unable to drive, so she called 911 for those items.
Seems responsible to me.
Kind of, sort of. Yeah. The wing-craving woman.
Are they honey wings or spicy wings, you know?
I would bet she's going spicy.
Really?
The wing-craving woman also kept asking to bum a cigarette and tried to get the deputies to drive her to get some. I think it's good.
Right.
She kept switching between hysterical laughter and crying and yelling during her conversation with the police, according to the arrest report. She was taken into custody on charges of misusing the 911 system. I don't know what those charges are, but she was released after posting a $1,000 bail.
Yeah, you're probably not supposed to call for wings.
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of abusive.
I know, but what is it with calling 911 involving food? Remember, there were some problems that, I don't know if it was the Chicago Rock and Roll McDonald's, but somebody didn't get their fries or something, or they wouldn't get an extra sweet and sour sauce, and so they called 911 to report that. I mean, what do people think? At least call 311 for that.
I went back to McDonald's this weekend to get someone in my family had purchased a salad and got the wrong dressing.
Doesn't that just honestly frost your butt?
Yeah, I was looking for something to do. I'm like, I'll drive back.
So really?
I drove back, said, you know, we got the wrong dressing. They gave me a free Coke.
Yeah, but the whole purpose of a drive-thru, Steve, is to be able to have the convenience of driving through, and very frequently, I try to check my order before I pull away, but if I don't, then you're not going to wait in the line of the drive-thru again, so you have to pull and park and go in and say, and I'm very nice, but then it defeats the purpose of the drive-thru.
Here's the other thing. I go back to this McDonald's. I pull in. It was in Lake Forest, actually, and there's like 8 cars in line. I'm like, are you kidding me, 8? Like, so I got out of the car.
That's what I just said.
There's no one in there.
What do you mean there's no one in there?
You go into the, you know, there's 8 people driving at the drive-up lane.
Oh.
You go actually into the store. There's nobody in there.
Because no one wants to get out of their car and go in there.
Right. They're eating McDonald's and not getting out of the car. I suggest you eat McDonald's and get out of your car and walk around a little bit. It's not going to kill you.
No, it won't kill you.
Right?
Yes, but I mean, that's the whole purpose of a drive-thru.
I know, but it was an extra 30 seconds to get out of the car and walk in. And then there was no line, right?
Again,
but
you
people
are...
would rather wait 6 cars behind so they can...
Sometimes we have no shoes on. Sometimes we're not wearing
illegal
makeup.
That's not illegal. You can do that.
Sometimes we don't want to go in somewhere, so we stay in the privacy of our own car, and then if there's a mistake or they forget something, you have to go in the lobby. I don't want to go in the lobby. If I want to go in the lobby, I would have done that in the first place.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Are so positive. It's all of a sudden the contrarian has changed in you, and you are Mr. Positive.
Look at it's a beautiful day.
It is not.
It's a sunny, it's somewhere, and I'm just feeling it.
All right. Well, good to know. Bill is off this week. He will be returning next week. And Steve Bertrand is sitting in. I know these are really long hours for you.
Nah.
But I do have to bust you on something after the news, if you don't mind.
Perfect. Wonderful.
And I'm, you know, go ahead. Start the text now that I'm being mean. I'm not. I'm just bringing up something that I noticed that is worth talking about.
Okay. Do I know about it?
Yes.
Okay.
And we also have one of those, should we just do it now? Tree Time has given us these fantastic desktop red and black hockey trees, and they're pretty awesome. They have, it's a red and white mini tree with mini lights on it, and let's do caller number 10 right now, 312-981-7200. You made me feel very positive about that, you know. You've become Mr. Positivity, so I want to do something nice.
I love that sweater you're wearing.
Cram it, clowny. caller 10 at 312-981-7200. The holiday hockey tree courtesy of Tree Time with the most ginormous selection of artificial Christmas trees at factory direct prices. Tree Time on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington, or you can go to treetime.com. News coming your way next on 720 WGN.
Disco Tuesday. Thanks, Kevin.
This is Michael Jackson. It's not disco.
This is my favorite Michael Jackson album.
This was my least favorite Michael Jackson album.
My favorite Michael Jackson song.
Really?
Yeah, it was before he got all weirded out. And... I totally could see Kevin to this.
We should periscope his chair dancing right now because it's pretty funny. I need to draw attention to something. Bill is off this week, and Steve Bertrand is doing a great job filling in. Thank you.
Well,
I appreciate it.
I appreciate that.
And you did something. Bill used to make fun of me. Bill loves to make fun of me. That's what we do. And honestly, we all like each other enough and to make fun of each other. That's what you do. You kibitz, if you will. You tease your coworkers. That's what everybody does at the office. Around the water cooler. Do they even have water coolers anymore?
Yeah, we've got a water cooler upstairs. If you ever come up to visit, you'd see it.
I don't like it upstairs. I like it down here.
It's so isolating down here.
That's why I like it down here. It's pretty nice. So Bill will sometimes make fun of me when I ask people to sign autographs, mainly for my kids. The Impractical Jokers were here, and I said, hey, could you please? And they're really cool about it, but Bill laughs at me when I do it. And I just saw you do something so much worse with our guest, Colin Donnell, who was here from Chicago Med, which I, by the way, have to set my VCR or whatever it is tonight for. Do you still have a VCR?
He was a delight.
He was a delight. He was wonderful, a newlywed. He's in Chicago Med, premieres tonight, NBC, 8 o'clock. And you asked him to do something.
So here's the thing. You know, I don't...
Kevin, I don't know if you know what went on in here. Okay.
So, you know, he was wonderful, great, and I'm sure the show's going to be great, and I'm going to watch it, you know. But I'm past the age now where starry-eyed, really.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I get starry-eyed working with you every day this week.
I can understand that. But so I'm texting with my daughter, and same thing with the Impractical Jokers. You know, Noah loves them. So I was talking to him about it. So I'm texting with my daughter that I'm sitting here, you know, next to Colin. And she's like, oh, we're big fans. My roommate Kat and I take a picture and whatever. So I thought, oh, it'd be kind of fun to just shoot a video of him saying hello to them.
So what'd you do, Gramps? You hit the video and something.
So he was very nice about it. He said, hi, Emma. Hi, Kat. I'm glad you watched Arrow and hope you watch the show tonight. Your dad's great. And he did it and that was it.
Except.
I texted it to my daughter and I realized.
No. You did a video.
I texted it to my daughter and realized that I only actually recorded about 2 seconds of it.
This was after you texted it?
Yeah. So she said, you need to work on your texting skills. I'm like, because, you know, same thing, right? It's kind of embarrassing to ask, but it's my kids. I don't care.
I do agree with that.
So, and he was fine. What if he was not perfectly wonderful?
Oh, he was so cool about
it. And off the air, we were having a great time. So it wasn't like,
Well, we were.
No. During the interview, we were having fun.
No, he was very nice. But so you only had a couple seconds of it. So what did you have to do?
I went and found him and had him do it again.
I can't believe that. Kevin, did you know he had to go find him again?
Yeah.
He was so cool about it. But
yeah, he was wonderful.
You need to tell Bill this when he returns.
No, I won't do that. I'll deny it happened. Yeah.
We have proof. I'll play the tape. Because he just laughs when I ask for autographs. And then if it's somebody really cool, I never know if I should get the autograph for me or one of my kids.
See, when I was interviewing authors a lot more than I do now, it was easy to do because you just ask people to sign the book. You know, and that's not quite the same as... Because autographs have changed now. They don't... It's not the same thing. Now it's selfies, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
You used to get an autograph to prove you were in the presence of someone. That was kind of, I think, the point of it. And now, that doesn't do it. It's the selfie.
Yeah, I got to change my view on things because I bought Elvis Costello's new book,
right?
Which I love.
Well, if you have him sign the book,
yeah,
that's different.
That's like a trophy then.
Yeah, exactly. But if you had him sign a piece of paper.
I had him sign an album, too.
Okay, well, album. That's.
But sometimes you can print, like with the Impractical Jokers, I printed up a lovely picture of them and they signed the picture to my sons.
Okay, a picture. I'm just saying a scrap of paper, just the name.
I never liked the signing of the books, though, because they always do it on the inside. You can't really show it off. What do you do with that?
I have such a great collection of author signatures. You know, I mean, some of the biggest authors in the world.
I have Mr. Food.
And
poor guy.
So I actually toyed with the idea once of razor blading the pages out and like framing them in a way.
You are a very strange individual. A
Why?
Very likable one, but you're very weird.
Why? What's strange about
Why
that?
Why would you do that?
I don't know, just as an art, something to put up, like 10 or 15 different, you know, pictures in a frame. I didn't do it. You want to know the weirdest one I have?
Yes.
And this is a total fumble on my part. All right, I was anchoring on election night of 2000, okay? And Al Gore, George Bush, Ralph Nader. And I had copied out a sheet with the each state and the number of electoral votes. And so as the night would go on, I think yellow was Bush and pink was Gore, you know, with a highlighter. Uh-huh. So a state would go to Bush, I'd highlight it with yellow. A state would go with Gore, I'd highlight it with pink. And then Florida,
yeah,
that night, was the call was changed. So it's actually orange.
Because you went over
I highlighted it Bush, and then I re-highlighted it Gore, and it came out orange. And I still have that worksheet from 2000. And so I met Al Gore a few years later, and I had it with me, and I said, hey, I want you to look at this. Would you sign this?
That is the coolest thing ever.
It's
I'm
from
sorry.
Election night. And I said, if you notice, and I just started to say, I said, you know, Bush was yellow, you were pink. He goes, yeah, Florida's orange. I mean, he instantly knew what
well, sure,
I was getting at.
He still thinks he's won.
And then a few months later, I met Ralph Nader and forgot. Like a dope. So I could have had two of the three, you know.
Yeah,
sign
but the
it.
Gore one is
so
really the most
it, yeah.
important. Now, that I would frame in a minute.
I don't know where I'll have to find it. I know it's somewhere.
Really, we were talking to this woman yesterday about, you know, not buying anything new for 200 days.
Right.
And she was talking about going through her father's apartment and finding things. Your kids are going to have a field day with you.
Yeah.
What is this highlighted thing? Oh, Al Gore's name's on it. And did he write to Steve?
No, he just signed it, I think.
Because that's what I'm noticing a lot now with the celebrities. They will not just sign their name. They want to personalize it.
So
because,
you can't sell it.
Right.
Right.
Who would... See, I would never think to sell something like that.
I used to work with guys back in the day, in the football days, when, you know, they could literally...
What team were you on?
I was on the... I wasn't on a team. I couldn't think of anything. But they could literally print money by signing their name. I mean, they would sign their
name,
you know, and just sit there for an hour or two and just get money for it. It was like writing out money.
I know. And that is why they put two all the time, because, you know, if it's to Phyllis and your name's not Phyllis, why would you buy that on eBay?
Right. Or change your name.
Yeah, that would be more worth it, depending on who the autograph is from. I got you on that. All right, it's Wendy Snyder. It's Steve Bertrand. Still to come, we are going to talk to ABC News correspondent Tom Rivers. That's who we're talking to, right? Tom Rivers, about what's going on in Paris, the aftermath. I thought something was reported that they're now looking for a second suspect in the Paris bombings. We'll
I know Ryan's
out.
Following it, too,
yes.
But the situation
yeah,
in Germany.
One additional person is, they just can't account for this person, so they think they're looking for him.
All right, well, we've got that coming up after the 2:30 news and plenty of other things here on 720 WGN. May I share another story with you that was in the news?
I wish you would.
And I'm not really sure how I feel about this. It's a sad and tragic tale of woe. Well,
tell me and I'll tell you how you feel.
All right, there was a Canadian couple.
You hate this story. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And, all right, I want to do it in chronological order. Their child was getting married, so they went to a destination wedding in Mexico. It was an all-inclusive resort. And they decided 67-year-old Charles McKenzie and his wife, Dorothy, 63 years old, decided to get a little amorous in a hot tub in a whirlpool spa.
Mm-hmm.
And he died and had a heart attack while they were engaged in something in the hot tub. And when he toppled over, on his wife and her. She was underwater and drowned her. Isn't this terrible?
How old were they?
67-year-old Charles McKenzie suffered a heart attack and toppled over his 63-year-old wife, Dorothy, as the two were
I was
going to
ask
love.
If there's a picture, and I don't mean it that way, but is he huge?
I don't know that. They were in a whirlpool spa at a Mexican resort. The happy couple was supposed to watch their 35-year-old daughter get married on the beach 2 days later, and she made the terrible discovery early Tuesday. After their night of passion, their deaths were deemed accidental and were believed to be linked. You think so? Said authorities.
The deaths were linked?
That's what the authorities said. Dorothy died of asphyxia by submersion moments after her husband passed, according to an official from the Mexican state of Quintana Roo. They had traveled from Nova Scotia to Playa del Carmen in Mexico. They were going to celebrate their daughter's big day. And it's unclear if the wedding went on 2 days later. The family was so devastated that they couldn't think that far ahead after the tragedy. And it's terrible.
Well, it's terrible, especially for, I would say, it's more, there's nothing to say.
Have you backed yourself into a corner?
Yeah, I mean, the wife, it must have been a terrible death, especially.
I know, and some people, you know, it was an all-inclusive resort.
It wasn't all-inclusive. They obviously didn't have medical care.
Wow, that is too soon, too fresh. The wound is too fresh.
You bringing it up?
I'm bringing it up because I read this over the weekend, and I've been sitting on it because it's just, to me, it's sad.
Well, it is sad. There, I agree with you. I'll tell you how you feel. You feel sad about this story.
But is that a way to go? That's what some people would say.
For the guy, I'm saying. That's what I mean. The woman had to be terrible.
That's a terrible tragedy. And I witnessed something during the Wintrust business lunch. I went outside to look at the lovely rainy weather we had, and I saw the very talented and wonderfully voiced Rick Kogan.
Mm-hmm.
So we were out there chatting up a storm.
Not too long. I hope you didn't miss too much of the show.
No, I sure didn't.
Okay, good.
I listen to the podcast if I do miss it.
I understand.
Is there a podcast of it?
Yes, there is. I'll send it to you.
Okay, great. And there was a tourist who was on his divvy bike, and he had stopped basically in the middle of the street. It was in the crosswalk and the light was red,
mm-hmm.
so no cars were coming, but he was trying to get his selfie stick in order, and the divvy bike completely fell to the ground, and he just kind of left it there while he fixed his selfie stick and zipped up his coat, and he was in the middle of the street.
He was in the lane of traffic?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, thankfully, the light didn't change. He did have enough time. But don't you put a deposit down on those divvy bikes? Because it really took a smash down to the cement. And I'm sure it scraped some of that lovely blue paint off of it.
Well, I don't think they would check for paint scraps.
Okay, so just as long as you return it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, as long as the wheels work and everything, it's not badly damaged. If it's scuffed up, I think you'd be fine.
It was just an interesting thing to see. And
so then did he take his own picture?
He did not at that point. He just fixed the selfie stick. So I guess later on his bicycle journey, he could do some selfie shots, which to me would be very dangerous, riding a divvy bike in the rain, holding up a selfie stick while you're riding the bike.
Yeah, but great pictures.
Absolutely. Quick break coming up after the 2:30 news. We will be talking to ABC News correspondent Tom Rivers about the new developments involving Paris and some other things that were in the news related to possible terrorism. We'll keep you abreast of the situation coming up next, 720 WGN. Thank you so much, Ryan. And it's Wendy Snyder here sitting along with Steve Bertrand. Bill is off this week. He'll return next week. And Ryan has been doing a great job keeping up with any new developments in the whole Paris situation. But we are going live now to ABC News correspondent Tom Rivers, who might have some more information for us. Hi there, Tom. How are you?
Doing okay, Wendy. Doing okay. You want to start with the football aspects, the soccer aspects tonight here in Europe?
Yeah, I think that, Tom, that's the thing I'm most interested in, because I was saying earlier, you know, we're in that time when there are a lot of false alarms, when people are hypervigilant or they're scared and they're seeing things that might not exist. But it seems like, I mean, is there something to this one at the football stadium?
We're getting into the local police chief in Hanover uses the language, there were serious indications or concerns that explosives might be in the stadium. So I think they erred on the side of caution. Angela Merkel was supposed to be at the game as well. It was a exhibition game. It was the Netherlands and Germany. So they 90 minutes before, there were just, I guess, a few people inside, not many, but they evacuated, and at that point then they called it off. So that one canceled. Another match canceled in Brussels. Get all of the connections We've heard in the past few days that at least part of the contingent here from Friday night came from up there, had lived up there. So the concerns in Brussels, that game between Belgium and Spain canceled as well. There's one going on, though, and this is an emotional one. It's France playing at Wembley right now, taking on England, and a lot of tears when the French national anthem was sung at the beginning of the game.
All right. You cannot be too sure. So obviously, you need to evacuate. It's just, as Steve mentioned, there's kind of a knee-jerk reaction to everything that's going on. There was a flight as well where someone tried to open a door. And was that in air, that flight? Do we know, Steve?
I don't know the answer to that.
Ryan was reporting on it earlier, but any strange behavior is being reported, as it should at this point, because we do have this panicky feeling after what went down in Paris.
Exactly, guys. And, you know, and the French are very unique, and they love their personal freedoms, and they say they will not be cowed by these kinds of attacks. But it was interesting. It was, I'm trying to think back to my days. It was Sunday here out in the Republic Square, and somebody threw firecrackers out in the evening when I was out there, and the crowds were building a few thousand at that point. And everybody ran, and it was like a stampede. Luckily, nobody got injured or killed. But it's scary. People are on edge. People know that some bad things could still be in the pipeline, and they're mindful of that. And it's something you can't just put in the back of your mind. It's kind of always there.
Last we heard, Tom, by the way, Tom Rivers, ABC News correspondent, last we heard there was that French national who was being searched for, and then I've heard other news about a second suspect being involved in the search now.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of threads. In all, 168 more raids up and down the country today, so the total is about 300. That's just in France. There were some people picked up in Germany, three men, two women, in a small village being questioned. That may go somewhere. It may not go anywhere. We've got the individual up in Belgium, and Saleh Abdesalam. Yesterday they thought they had him. We had a crew up there in the northern suburbs, and a house was cordoned off, and it was like a three-hour siege. We heard percussion explosions as well. Turns out nothing there. Same thing in the same general neighborhood today, around a tobacco shop, but another false lead. So, yes, this prime suspect, a brother of one of the suicide killers, on the loose right now, people trying to pick up his trail, but so far, no good.
All of this happening while the French government acts quickly to step up its military activities over Syria. And I would imagine that is being applauded in Paris and around France, but you know there also have been air raids going on in those areas for a long time. So, I mean, are they hopeful that this will create some sort of resolution, or are they just feeling like this is kind of a muscle flexing in the wake of the attack?
I tell you what they want. They want Hollande's going to go to the UN. He wants a Security Council resolution saying, "I want a real coalition." Okay, he doesn't want this narrative kind of coalition. His words yesterday, containment ain't working. Doesn't work. He wants to join up. He's got a meeting with Putin after he goes to the White House next week. And he wants to pound ISIS. He doesn't want to hang around and say this is a generational thing, because if it is a generational thing, you're going to have more people coming from around the world, especially Europe, going down there, getting trained up, and coming back to their home country and doing these kinds of things.
Okay, those words are almost an exact contrast to what the president has said, right? I mean, he had said that it had been contained territorially, I should say, and that it would be a long fight. So two things that Hollande seems not to be willing to settle for.
Yeah, and the proof is in the pudding. You look at the map. How does it look different from 12 months ago?
This is all interesting to me. It really is, because who did I hear on with Roe yesterday?
Congressman Kinzinger, maybe?
Yes, yeah. Who was saying that if France knew where to target these places, why hadn't we targeted them before? There are so many questions that we have, and I kind of like the way that France just retaliated right away. I know you have to be careful. I know you don't want civilian casualties, But I don't know what the answer is, and obviously we don't as well. Tom Rivers reporting live from Paris, ABC News correspondent. You did mention this one gentleman, the French national, the Belgian guy, who I had heard reports that he had been stopped several times before, but they had no reason to hold him. I mean, why would they have held him? He didn't have ammunition, so obviously they let him go.
Yeah, well, they actually he did. We'll get into that. He, along with two other people, had just hours after the attack in Paris, headed up to Belgium on the border, and they got to the border crossing. At that point, their passports were checked out, papers and all of that sort of thing, and they checked out fine, and they were allowed to proceed. It was so close to the actual attacks, they didn't have the names of the seven attackers at that stage, okay? So they just said, okay, it looks fine, you can go through. They then found the car abandoned, and in the trunk they found three AK-47s. So they knew that they were onto something, and then there's talk of yet another hotel they were checking out today, possible location where these men may have been as well. But it's going on up and down the country here, guys.
We did talk to somebody earlier today from CNET because there had been reports that PlayStation 4 was involved in some of the correspondence with the ISIS members, and that has been redacted because that information came out too quickly, and it turns out that is not true. Had you heard that at all, Tom?
You know, yeah, I'd heard that too. And as a person that I don't play these electronic games, I don't know how you can message on them, whatever. But apparently, it is a way that some people could, in theory, communicate out of the normal way of being identified on the internet. So, I as far as the validity, not sure. Don't know at this stage.
Are you nervous being out there?
No, not at all. Not at all.
I would be very nervous. I don't know why, but I'm a chicken. I really don't know when to expect something, but you can't live in fear.
That's the thing. You don't know what's around the corner, and if you live your life like that, it's not a good way to live your life. So the French, especially the young here, there's a social media campaign up right now saying, if you want to be supportive, go down to your cafe, go to your restaurant, go to your bar tonight. Get out in the street like you always do. Otherwise, the other guys just won.
What does this mean politically in France with Hollande? And is it Marie Le Pen, the leader of the Conservatives? I know that there's conflict there, and she is especially tough when it comes to immigration.
Exactly. And it certainly isn't the temperature maybe that it is in the States, the debate about immigration. But no, there's a growing, strong feeling in this country that, you know, look, we can't just open the doors to this flood of humanity coming up here. What are we going to do about it? Although some people say, look, you know, we got to help people in trouble, people that no longer have homes. They're escaping a civil war. So that debate is in play. And there's an election here, what, in 2 years?
So I guess, Tom, maybe my question, though, is, you know, in the days after September 11th here, there was great unanimity in a cordial spirit among all politicians. Is that the sort of thing that is there, or are they having these arguments vocally right now?
Not vocally right now. Kind of the subtext, but you know, when the campaign really, really kicks off, yeah, that's going to be an issue. That's going to be one that's going to be swaying these people. Hollande right now not doing very well in the polls, so it certainly is going to be a, you know, maybe a weak point for him. But again, a lot can happen in the next 2 years as well.
Thank you so much for covering this, and stay safe out there. Okay.
All right, guys.
We appreciate it. He's Tom Rivers, ABC News correspondent. And, I mean, you're a journalist. I mean, if you were sent out there to cover it, I guess you wouldn't be.
He's not in the war zone. He's in his,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Know.
I mean, I would go there tomorrow to visit. Absolutely.
I'm a big wimp. That's what it is.
I'm going to take you. We're going to go together to Paris, and we're going to get your little Eiffel Tower tattoo. And you're going to come back.
Is this all
back.
Part of Steve Bertrand travel?
That's right. Let's go, baby.
All right. So can we have a little wine and brie party? Because, you know, we're having fun reading all the texts of people. And, you know, I'm a whiner.
You have to stop reading the texts.
All right. 312-981-7200. You could text us more because we do read them and enjoy them and sometimes laugh at them. You can also call us. And we will wrap things up in just a bit. It's 720. It's WGN.
We were talking with Tom Rivers, ABC News correspondent, about a, was it a soccer match that was happening
in Germany? Hanover, Germany.
And someone has texted us, and you never know what information people hear, but they were saying outside the stadium in Germany there was an ambulance filled with explosives.
There were some reports of that. I don't know if it's been confirmed yet, but I saw that on Twitter not too long ago.
And again, guys, I don't know if you've heard this, but now they have evacuated a concert in Hamburg, Germany, another stadium, and the police chief there is asking people to stay home and not to travel in large groups.
All right. Well, ISIS attacks, you know, it seems like they're going to keep them coming. And if you watch that video of the Eagles of Heavy Metal, Eagles of Death Metal, yeah, that was playing at the Bataclan in Paris over the weekend. It's just, it's still surreal to me to watch that because the guitarist is playing, the drummer's pounding on the drums, you hear the shots ring out, and I mean, would you think for a minute if you're at a concert where it's so loud, the bass and the drums, never. You can feel it in your heart, and I would not think for a minute that that was gunfire.
No.
So now a concert reportedly in Germany.
But again, let's, you know, remember, so far, none of these things has turned out to be anything.
But they did evacuate the stadium in Germany.
But they haven't found anything as far as we know.
And it looks like they have found no explosives. So we're hearing that right now.
I mean, I don't want to diminish it. I mean, hopefully they won't find anything. But we're in that time, you know, where people are very cautious. Scared.
As they should be.
Yeah. Okay. No, I mean, I don't disagree. I'm just saying, you know, that I'm hopefully none of this will turn out to be anything, obviously. And
after 9/11, I don't know about you, but I will say me, I was worrying that things were going to happen almost immediately,
sure.
Like a domino effect type of thing.
When the planes would fly over downtown in the days after, and like, I never knew they flew that close. You know, you're looking at airplanes, and I remember, too, driving. The traffic was terrible because no one wanted to get in a train. I mean, that was my sort of theory, but the traffic was awful. Everyone was driving.
I was working at another radio station, and the boss said, don't come in because you think we're in a big city. You never know what might happen. And I know you really can't sit in your house and worry about things that happen because, as you pointed out earlier, more people die in car accidents. You have a better chance of your train derailing, which, boy, you're going to have a lot of irritated commuters if that does happen.
I'm confident it's not going to happen. We'll be fine.
All right. Well, that's good
to
know.
I just have to get there today.
Yes, it is raining. Cats and dogs, don't step in a poodle.
I'm going to have to take a boat, I think, down the river to get to... You don't care at all, do you?
No, I do care. Yeah. It's the life of a commuter, and I know people do that all the time. The boat will take you to Union Station.
Yeah, it's just going to be wet.
The water
taxi?
Feel a little,
yeah. It's raining.
So,
no sympathy whatsoever.
Do you have an umbrella?
No, I don't. I hate umbrellas.
It doesn't work in the city, really, because if it's really windy...
Right, they're ruined anyway.
Yeah, you see a lot of umbrellas inside out at the curb.
There goes a guy with an umbrella. Let's just watch. Nope.
Here, he gave you the okay sign, so it seems to be working for him.
Is that what that means, really?
I'm explaining for... It was an O sign, and I'm explaining it for the listeners who are not sitting here looking out the window, listening to us not describe things.
I understand.
Wow, it gets bad at the end of the day. It really is. These long days, it's a lot for you to do, isn't it?
No, I'm good.
All right. You can always use the trash bag. I'm sure we could find a trash bag around here.
To, like, poke the hole through the head and everything? Yeah, okay, I'll try that.
You don't even have to put your hands through. You can just carry anything of importance, your new briefcase, anything that's important to you. Just carry it underneath.
My man bag?
Yes, the man bag. I showed you a little video, and maybe we could put a link up. We probably don't have time to talk about this today. Maybe I should save it for tomorrow, but there is a boy in a new Barbie commercial. I don't know if you saw the video. I did show you.
Yeah, I saw it.
And it's a whole thing where they do not want to specify which gender toys are for. I had a son who wanted the Easy Bake Oven. I used to play with Matchbox cars when they were around.
So that's what you think they're doing? They're trying to sell the Barbie to boys?
I think that is what they're trying to do. I think it was Target that mentioned it first that said that they were going to do away with the boys and girls department of toys only. I think people misconstrued that to mean there wouldn't be boys and girls section of clothing, which why does there have to be? I mean, I never liked pink. I never used to wear pink.
No, there has to be a section because already when I walk into a store, it's hard to tell sometimes. Right? What clothes are for men or women?
Who cares, though, if it's something you like?
Because they're cut different. They're made different. They are. What are you laughing at? It's true. A guy walks into a store and you're like, which side of the gap do I go to? It takes a couple of minutes.
It does. But yes, we could put the video up of, Kevin, I will send that to you. There's a boy in a Barbie commercial and I, you know, it's fine.
He's just saying, wow, this is really cool. I love this.
Yes, he is saying, and he's showing Barbie to her purse. He has a little purse that he's putting on Barbie's hand, but it's trending. And yes, there is a boy in a Barbie commercial. And I mean, did you ever play with dolls? My brother used to play with my sister's Barbie dolls with his G.I. Joes.
I just had a brother, so we didn't have any Barbies in the house. No, we didn't. Not that
I guess that's true.
As far as my parents knew.
All right. We are wrapping up. Rokan is coming in. I do not know if Anna DeVlantis is back yet today, but we will find out momentarily here on 720 WGN.